Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to you. As Marty adjusts her monitor. Boy, all right, let's try that again.
All right. It's just little old me, not Foghorn. Okay, yes. Now that things have been adjusted here in the booth, with Time Saver Traffic and Weather, I'm Marty Hall, and I have a traffic collision to report on Highway 166 west of Cuyama, involving two vehicles out there. Tow trucks are on the way, and CHP unit is on its way as well. More locally, we have a traffic hazard southbound Highway 101 just north of Price Street Canyon Road in AG. Looks like a vehicle is disabled out there and near the number 2 lane, so just please be advised as you're moving through that area this afternoon. Weather-wise, currently 75 degrees, clear here in San Luis Obispo. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the 50s around the county. And tomorrow, mostly sunshine. Paso is going to have temperatures about 105 or so up there in the North County. Coastal Valley regions, 89 to low 90s for tomorrow. And the beaches, we're looking at mid-60s to low 70s here. So it's going to be a beautiful, warm, sunny weekend here on the Central Coast. Traffic and Weather is brought to you by Lemos Feed and Pet Supply. Marty Hall here in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center. You're listening to News Talk 920 KVEC. Let's head over and check in on Dave Congleton.
News Talk 920 KVEC, streaming live from the Dave Congleton Media Compound, located in the heart of the governor's favorite county,
San Simbicio County.
It's a man who's been an accomplished professor, journalist, award-winning author, and always a friend of the animals, Dave Congleton.
.307 on the Central Coast, as we say good afternoon and welcome to the Friday edition of Hometown Radio. Finally up and running now on this Friday, September 25th, 2009. Good afternoon. I'm Dave Congleton. Glad to be with you. Glad to have you with us on News Talk 920 KVEC. Marty and I will be with you all the way till 7 o'clock tonight. Quick thank you to Jim Richards and to Jack Hardy for guest hosting yesterday and for Marty Hall for keeping all the engines fired up and allowing me to take the day off. We got a chance a little bit later on. I'll tell you about my big adventures with Tanner yesterday. Let's just put it this way. Yesterday for lunch up at Ragged Point, he and I went as far as Ragged Point. He got the $5.95 cheeseburger. I had the $4.50 hot dog. I spent more on my dog than on me. I've got problems. On the broadcast today, since it's Friday, Fatty's Pizza will give a couple away. Get your donning fingers ready. Also, novelist Lee Zamlock will join us. She's going to be doing a signing tomorrow at the Novel Experience. Let's talk a little bit about her writing and her books. Bob and Andrea Cam will join us during the 4 o'clock hour. Let's find out what's happening with them and the new business they are launching. 5 o'clock, you don't want to miss this segment. All the segments are good, but this is going to be interesting. Dr. Lawrence Doyle and Dr. John Keller are going to talk about the search for extraterrestrial life. Life on other planets, life in the universe, what do we know? Dr. Doyle, big-time astronomer, researcher, he's in town this weekend doing all sorts of presentations. We get him first. Also, we'll talk a little bit about dogs. It is the Dave Congleton Show. We are your hometown radio talk show. First, it's time for Pet of the Week, where we try to find a great home for a homeless dog or cat. And Marty, Pet of the Week is brought to us by
Lemos Feed and Pet Supply, where for over 33 years, Lemos Feed and Pet Supply has built a reputation as the store that specializes in the healthiest pet foods in the world. You'll find a friendly, knowledgeable staff, and they'll meet or beat the prices from any Central Coast pet superstore. Lemos Feed and Pet Supply, if your pets could talk, they'd say Lemos.
Absolutely. Thank you, Marty. Here is Ace Volunteer Greer Eubanks with a dog who's about as big as a $5.95 cheeseburger.
Well, that's true, but today... Am I on?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, today, you know, I got to tell you, I'm not really Greer. I am Robin to Batman. Batman is our lucky boy.
We got Batman here.
We have Batman. Batman is about 3 pounds. He's a He's a teacup chihuahua, basically.
Yeah.
And he looks just like Batman with his ears sticking way out. And I'm sure Marty will have a picture up on the website very soon.
Before you go upstairs, Marty, doesn't he look like Batman?
Well, yeah, and I was just typing to you saying, and Greer's, he's wearing green.
Yeah.
Robin wore green, didn't
he? That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Very good.
Or is the Green Lantern. They're going to go out and fight crime together. Man, what a great little dog.
Oh, Batman's great. I got him. He's leaning up against my chest here. All right, let me read to you what the shelter says. This is what everybody, consolidation of opinions about Batman. Adorable ultimate lapdog. He's neutered male, about 5 years old, maybe even a little bit younger. He just has a little premature gray around his nose.
But he looks older. How do you know that he's only five? He looks older.
He told us.
Okay.
Batman's a smart boy, you know, but he only talks to select people, okay. And whoever adopts him, that's who he'll talk to. Mm. So, but he needs to gain a couple of pounds. He's a little skinny, you know, he's just a little nervous in there. He needs to get into a nice home.
He's been there for a couple of weeks.
He has. He came in on the 28th of August.
I can't believe, because usually the little dogs go fast.
Well, two reasons why. Number one, he's in the hallway kennel cage. So if you come in here and you're looking for little dogs, folks, a lot of times the real small ones we can't put in the big cage because the bars are too far apart, they'll walk right on out.
Yeah.
So we have them in the hallway, and we have the double-stack kennel cages, so they get a little lost in there. He's black, which is a little white around his muzzle and his forehead, and so he just gets a little lost in there. But don't pass him up. This is a great, great dog, and I'm usually a big dog fan, as
right.
You know.
But he came in as a stray.
Came in as a stray. He was off of Highway 166 in Hutton. I don't even know where that is. But
I don't either.
Anyway, that's where he came from.
But he was fighting crime because he's Batman.
That was it, I'm sure.
He gets along with other dogs?
He's fine. As long as they're like 15 pounds or under, he's fine.
He gets along with other small dogs.
Small dogs. The bigger dogs, it's not that he doesn't get along with them, but he gets a little nervous because... He's like a little ant compared to that.
And Lenny weighs 3 pounds.
Even though he's Batman, you know, he can only do so much.
Yeah, and how about cats?
He's fine with cats as long as they're good with him.
As long as they're less than 15 pounds.
In this case, the cat is a much bigger danger to him than he is to the cat.
This is a no-brainer to me, Greer, because people are always looking for the small dogs, the lap dogs,
right.
The low-maintenance dogs.
Yes.
Hello.
I know. He's just standing right here. He's just a very sweet boy.
I don't think I've ever seen a 3-pound dog before.
You know, I don't see too many. And, you know, I'm very, very happy to have brought him on. And I want to thank Eve down there at the shelter, you know, for directing my attention to him.
Is that why Batman's our pet of the week? Because somebody suggested?
Yeah. Okay. Somebody suggested because he's been in there since the 28th. And, again, even me, I passed up on him because I didn't even see him in the cage.
As a senior citizen looking for a low-maintenance companion.
Absolutely.
Somebody you can watch TV with at night.
Absolutely.
Somebody you can listen to hometown radio with.
He's listening right now.
Right now?
Yeah. He's not saying – he's very quiet.
He's a very quiet dog.
He's not a yipper. He didn't yip the whole way over. He was great in a car, by the way.
How did he do in the car?
His tiny little head just sticking out the window, you know, just kind of watching the world go by. And I don't even think people noticed he was there. Somebody looked over before and kind of went like – and looked down and went, oh, my God.
Has he been fixed?
He is. He's neutered. And we know he's good in the house because somebody had fostered him when he got neutered and said he was perfect in the house, well-behaved. He's house-trained. He just likes to be with his people. You can see him leaning on me. Loves to ride in the car. I'll attest to that. He's good for, you know, for walks. You know, not real long walks because it takes him quite a few steps, folks.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, we're not kidding. This is a 3-pound dog.
Yeah, 3 pounds.
His photo is going to be up shortly at 920kvec.com. Is he on your website?
He is on our website, too, and his ID number is 161063.
161063.
And you go to slowanimalservices.com, animals in the shelter, and there you will see Batman.
Batman. Da, 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 da,
so you
Batman.
Know how much it'll cost you to feed this guy. You'll go. I'm sorry, Limos, but you know one bag is going to last a long time here. So.
Yeah. What's the fee on Batman?
The fee on that, unfortunately, big or small, doesn't matter. It's $90. But that'll mean that he gets, obviously he's neutered. He'll get microchipped. He'll get a rabies shot. He'll get a license. He'll be ready to go. It's a great deal.
If you went to the vet, that would cost you $200.
Oh, yeah.
So you're saving $100 easily.
Easy.
On a pet store dog or anything else like that.
Yep, exactly. You can't beat it. I mean, what else do they got in here? So low maintenance, obviously, like I said, low food cost. Likes to curl up with his person in front of the TV at night. Not bad.
This is a no-brainer, ladies and gentlemen. There's no excuse for this dog to be in animal services.
Right. And he's crate trained, too, if you want him to be. I mean, he's really perfect. He's quite a perfect dog.
And he's totally quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unlike a lot of little dogs, they get a little yippy, a little yappy.
Does he yap a lot at the shelter?
No, he didn't. That is why he's in his cage, I'm sure, and getting totally overlooked.
Because he doesn't call attention to himself.
Doesn't call. Just the way like Batman in the movies. You know, he wants to just silently go through it at night.
At night, that's when he's.
That's it. He gets in his little car and he goes around the house fighting crime.
But he drives the Catmobile.
Yeah, you can put him in what is Hot Wheels? Remember those Hot Wheel cars? You can put him in a Hot Wheel. There you go.
Greer Eubanks on the Dave Congleton Show with Batman, our pet of the week. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk more about what's happening at Animal Services. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. It is 3:20 on News Talk 920 KVEC. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. We're halfway through our pet of the week segment. Hello. Greer Eubanks is here from Animal Services. Batman.
Hello, Batman.
Is our pet of the week. We ought to put a signal up in the sky and get somebody to come to adopt him. This is a 3-pound dog.
3 pounds of just really, really just sweetness.
And you call him a teacup chihuahua.
Teacup chihuahua. And he's just a love bug. All he wants to do is curl up in your lap, just hang by his people, watch a little TV with you. Maybe while you're working on the laptop, on the computer, he'll just kind of hang out by you.
And he's got the most amazing ears, hence the title Batman.
Hence the title Batman. Yeah,
although if you really want to, you can rename him.
Yeah, you can.
Just don't call him Taco.
No, please. No Taco. We got enough of that. And besides, he wouldn't taste very good. So let me remind you, folks, his ID number is 161063. Go to slowanimalservices.com, and you will see him on there. He's about a 5-year-old. He looks a little gray around the muzzle and the head. He's just premature. He's very quiet. Doesn't bark, doesn't yip, doesn't do anything.
And a lot of people like to carry their dogs around with them.
Put them in your purse.
This is one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's only 3 pounds.
Exactly.
Now, he sees something out the window. He's just kind of staring out the window.
He's getting ready to fight crime.
But he's not barking.
What's my job going to be tonight?
Somebody must be having their purse stolen.
That must be. Because
Batman's looking down.
That's right. He wants to report a crime.
This is a quiet dog. It's a small dog. It's a friendly dog.
Likes to ride in a car. Yeah, he's not nippy. He's not. He's a little nervous when you pass him off, but he doesn't do anything. He's fine. He just doesn't want to get dropped.
What do you say, Marty? What do you say about Batman?
Oh, he's adorable.
Isn't he, though?
Yes.
He really is. He's cute.
Very sweet.
Now, this is a dog you could take home.
Yeah. And my landlady wouldn't know.
She wouldn't know.
When she shows up, just put her in your purse. Put him in your purse.
To say it's Batman.
My backpack.
He's not going to bark. Just put him in your backpack. It'll be great. Yes. Well, folks, if Batman, you got to think about Batman, but you may be looking for a cat, you can go to some of the Adopt-A-Pets that we have going on around the county. Arroyo Grande, out in front of Limos on Saturday between 11 and 3. We're going to have tons of kittens, which we are just full up on, as well as mature cats, too. Every size, hold on. Batman, get back. Oh, Batman. Not yet.
What's he doing?
I think he saw something out there. He saw a crime. Oh. I'm going to put him down.
Okay,
so Arroyo Grande, Adopt-A-Pet in front of Limos Saturday, 11 to 3. Paso Robles out in front of Walmart on Saturday, and I believe Sunday also, again, 11 to 3. And then Feline Network out in front of Petco in SLO out there at the Madonna Plaza. They're there Saturday and Sunday also. Tails, the pet store on Higuera in SLO, always has a few cats available. And these are all rescues from Animal Services, so please come out there if you're looking for a cat, a kitten. We're full up. If you can't make it to the shelter, come to any one of those Adopt-A-Pets. You'll have a great, great time and a ton of choices. All of the cats will be spayed and neutered.
Batman came to me. I sat down on the floor, called him. He came right to me.
Yeah.
Now he's sitting in my lap.
Yeah,
what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, give him a little piece.
This is bigger than he is.
I know. No, it's too big. He'll be nibbling in that for a week.
Other dogs you want to mention?
Other dogs. Yes. Hey, we got some really good selection down there. We have a twosome in there that is really striking looking. I think they're husky and maybe pit bull mix, mostly husky looking, and they have the most beautiful blue eyes. Very calm, very easygoing dogs, brindle and white, really, really handsome. And those were going to be my choices to bring. I could have brought both of them in here. Could have brought both of them in
here. He
just
flew off my lap.
Yeah, he did. That's a long crawl, too. It was about two stories for him.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. So lots of choices, lots of big and small dogs to choose from,
back.
As always.
Now you
we
come back.
We have Frank, who is a Welsh Corgi, black Welsh Corgi, really strikingly handsome boy. He's been down. I'm amazed he's still available for adoption, too. So big and small, lots of choices. Adoption fee at the shelter is $95 per dog. It includes spay and neutering, license, microchip, rabies shot. It's a great deal. $70 for the cat, same deal, except they don't get a license. Cats don't need to be licensed. Website, like I said, once again, slowanimalservices.com. Check them all out, both the animal, dogs and cats. And tip of the week, I got a few good ones for you. There is a bill working its way through Congress, so you need to contact your congressman or woman. It's number H.R. 3501, and it's to allow for tax deductions for pet care expenses, like your vet bills. If you're in favor of that or you want to know more, go online, and I'm sure you'll be able to find out more about
it. So the pet, there are pet expenses would be written off?
Apparently so.
Because Batman's on the website.
Cool.
920kvc.com. You can go see his photo.
Yeah.
There's Batman, all 3 pounds of him.
All 3 pounds. He's a good boy. You really should check him out. He's a sweet, sweet boy. So check that out, H.R. 3501. I think it's a very interesting bill that's working its way through Congress, and so many people have pets now, and to be able to write off those vet expenses would be excellent. The other website I keep promoting because I think it is so cool, it's Woof. Report, W-O-O-F, report.
Woofreport.com.
Really good stuff in there. I mean, just fun stuff to very informative and helpful things to make your dog and your life better, safer, more fun, all of those things. Things like how to make popsicles that are, you know, tasty for your dog in these hot days, to which pesticides are safe to use around your house to keep your dog and you safe. An interesting thing on where to buy glow-in-the-dark collars when you're walking at night or if your dog ever gets loose at night. They'll be seen by traffic, which is an excellent idea.
So one-stop shopping for anything to do with dogs.
It's not even shopping. They don't sell anything. All they do is steer you to all these really cool other websites or other things to look into about pesticides. It's just a nice clearinghouse without really, you know, trying to sell you a lot of things.
All right, so that's the Woof. That's woofreport.com.
Yeah, excellent website.
So and you're going to have Adopt-A-Pets in Arroyo Grande de Limos,
mm-hmm.
and also in Paso Robles in front of the Walmart.
Yep.
On Saturdays.
All cats.
All right. And then Feline Network, obviously all cats.
Yes.
And the Petco where?
Petco is over at Madonna Plaza.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can go, whether you're in Arroyo Grande, Paso Robles, or San Luis, there's some kind of adoption taking place Saturday.
Right. And if those are not available to you to go to, you can always pick up the Easy Ad and look for the PALS page. And they're really wonderful people to run a full page of all adoptable dogs and cats from rescue organizations, including animal services. A real thank you for you all for doing that. Really appreciate it.
But go to our website at 920kvec.com and take a look at Batman and see what you think our KVEC Pet of the Week. Because this dog needs a home.
He does. He is such a cool little dog. And I'm a big dog fan, but this guy has really, really got my heart. He's only 3 pounds. I mean, it is so tidy. He has got to be the easiest dog in the world to raise.
He's not barking. He's not yapping. He's not doing anything.
No, he's a very friendly guy once he gets to know you and he knows that you're not going to step on him and squish him like a bug.
That'd be the only problem with having this dog is that he's so quiet and he's so tiny, you'd have to stop. Where's Batman?
That's it. You know, so you got to shuffle around the house a bit so you don't step on it. But I'm sure you get out of your way, too.
Let's put a last plea in, please, for Batman, our pet of the week.
All right. So, Batman, if you're looking for a little dog, 3 pounds at the most, he's a cool little dude, number 161063 at slowanimalservices.com. You can see his picture there. He's a neutered boy, maybe 5 years old, a little bit of premature gray. When you come down to look at him, look in the hallway. He's not in the kennel cages because he'd slip right through the bars. He'd be able to get away. But he loves to go for rides in the car. He's good for walks. He's well-behaved in the house, house-trained.
A very unusual-looking dog, though, and I mean that in a nice way.
Yeah.
He was kind of like, wow, look at this dog. He's very unique.
Nice, a really nice guy, I tell you. You know, you really, if you're looking for a little dog, this is real. And he gets along great with little other little dogs his size, in other words, up to like 10 pounds.
He's come back to me because he thinks I have more treats. And he's like, okay, what does it take to get another treat from this guy?
Well, you just have to ask Robin.
Well, let him come to you.
All right, so this is Batman, our pet of the week. Please get out to Animal Services. They're closed on Sunday, so get out there today, tomorrow, and let's have good news on Monday about Batman getting a home. Final thoughts, Greer.
Come on down to the shelter. Cats, dogs, lots of choices, lots of size, from 3 pounds on up to probably 120 pounds.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye,
this
folks.
California Headline News, Hometown Radio rolls on. Stay with us. .336 on Newstalk 920 KVEC. I'm Dave Congleton along with Marty Hall. She is in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center with the very latest in Time Saver traffic and weather together. Marty.
Thank you, Dave. Busy afternoon here on the Central Coast as we head into the weekend, Friday afternoon. The traffic collision update on Highway 166, mile marker 42 out in the Cuyama area. Looks like both lanes are temporarily blocked while they're tending to the collision out there involving two vehicles. CHP is on the scene and awaiting the arrival of two large tow trucks out there this afternoon. No other incidents to report on at this time. Weather-wise, for the weekend, you can expect pretty warm temperatures no matter where you are around the county. Lows tonight in the 50s and tomorrow sunshine all around the county. 60s, mid-70s at the beaches. Coastal Valley areas are looking at 89, low 90s on this side of the grade. And up in the North County, you can expect temperatures of 105 or so for the weekend. Marty Hall here in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. This is News Talk 920 KVEC with Dave Congleton.
All right, Marty, thank you very much. On Monday, San Luis City Council member Andrew Carter will be here. Let's get back into the discussion about Cal Poly students and Cuesta students and alcohol and how it affects this city. And we'll preview the big San Luis City Council meeting on Tuesday night. It is the Dave Congleton Show. We are your hometown radio talk show. Lee Zamlock is my next guest. She is an award-winning author whose short stories have appeared in many nationally recognized literary journals. Her novels include Catch the Sun and Bear Medicine. She is going to be doing a signing tomorrow, Saturday, at the Novel Experience, our favorite bookstore. In downtown San Luis Obispo, Lee will be signing her novels from noon to 2 p.m. Come on by and say hi and learn how it's done by a professional. Lee, nice to see you. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Dave. It's great to be here.
How do you handle these signings? Do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy meeting the public?
I do enjoy meeting the public. I think it's great. I love finding out that people have read the books and are interested in them and have questions. And sometimes I hear that people have actually changed their lives or been highly affected by something that they've read, and that's exciting.
I read a reference to your bio, but flesh this out a little bit for us, Lee. Talk a bit about your background, please. How long have you been writing, and how did you get into writing?
Well, you know, I've been writing actually since I was a little girl. I started when I was about 8. I wrote stories all through high school. When I got into college, I stopped for a long time because I was very busy. I was married, I had a child, and I was going to school. But I sort of kept my hand in it for many years. And as I was going along in my career, I would take weekends or evenings and do a little writing. My serious writing has actually been in the last 10 or 15 years, where I've really had a chance to spend time on it.
And how are you satisfied with yourself as a writer now?
Oh, never.
Okay.
Never. No. I think every book is a little better than the book before it or the story before it. And every time I finish a book, I reread it and see 10 things I could have done more to make it even better.
You're your toughest critic.
I'm my toughest critic, but it's great because I keep on learning, and I think that's what it's about, is to get better and to keep on learning.
Lee Zamlock on the Dave Congleton Show. She spells her last name Z-A-M L-O-C-H. She lives right here in San Luis Obispo. Her novels include Catch the Sun and Bear Medicine. She's going to be at the Novel Experience tomorrow, Saturday, from noon to 2 p.m. Come on by and say hi. If people can't make it, Lee, how can they get your books?
They can go on Amazon.com and look under my name and order them, or there will probably be some copies at the Novel Experience left over from the signing.
I mean, the bottom line is, however you get your books, whatever bookstore you go, if you get them online, wherever you get your books, you can at least order your novels.
Absolutely.
That's the other thing worth noting, I think, is how the whole publishing phenomenon has changed. Everything going online now and interactive. What do you think about that?
I think it's great. It allows authors to get their books out there who would be waiting a long time to go through the conventional publishing process. And for me, it keeps me motivated. It allows me to keep on going. And as I said before, every book is a little better than the one before it. So, you know, by the time I'm 100, I'll probably have written a really, really great novel.
I think you got a ways to go there, Lee. Are people still reading, though?
That's a good question. I think there are fewer and fewer people reading, at least reading novels. Most people I know read nonfiction. And a lot of times when I mention that I'm a fiction writer, people will say, oh, I never read novels. So that's an interesting question. It's unfortunate.
And why do you think that is? Is it the time commitment? They just don't have the time in this culture today to devote to reading a novel?
I think so. I've even noticed that my own taste has changed. When I was a very young woman, I had all the patience in the world for 500- and 600- and 800-page novels, 19th century ponderous novels. And I'm finding that now I need books that go a little quicker than that. And it surprises me because I love words so much. But I've noticed that as our culture seems to have sped up, our attention span seems to be shorter.
And I would agree with you. And given that, has that changed your writing style?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, someone like Raymond Carver, who started the whole process of very, very short sentences and doing more implying than stating, was very attractive to me when I started. And I'm just now starting to write longer, more complex sentences, but really one of the things that I'm most aware of is keeping my sentences sharp, short, and keeping the reader's interest.
My wife, Charlotte, must devour 2 to 3 books a week, and I'll always kind of thumb through and see what she's reading. And with fiction, it's like chapters are 2-3 pages.
Exactly.
That's it. It's a short attention span.
Exactly. Yeah, I think you're right. My chapters tend to be a little longer than that, but they're not 30, 40 pages. That's for sure. They're about 10.
Who do you read?
Oh, gee. I read all kinds of stuff. I read everything there is. I love a guy named Michael Conley.
Yeah.
Yeah, who is a sort of a noir writer.
Former L.A. Times crime reporter.
Correct.
I don't know, he has like 10 books, 10 books.
Oh, my God, he's got 20 books.
Yeah.
And he's a very good writer.
Yep. A lot of crime thriller stuff.
Yeah, very much so. I like that. That's escapist.
Yeah.
But he's also taught me a lot of little techniques that I've picked up. I also like the serious writers, of course. And, you know, I just finished Pat Conroy's latest book, South of Broadway. You know, I love the Southern writers because, again, they have such an amazing way with words and language and rhythms and all of that.
Lee Zamloch on the Dave Congleton Show, Zamloch. Her novels include Catch the Sun and Bear Medicine. You can catch her tomorrow, Saturday, at the Novel Experience in downtown San Luis from noon to 2 p.m. She'll be signing. We'll take a short break. We'll come back for a second segment. This is News Talk 920 KVEC.
The Dave Congleton Show, brought to you in part by Lemos Feed and Pet Supply, family-owned and operated with 12 stores on the Central Coast. If your pets could talk, they'd say Lemos.
Top of the air, we have Fox News, and we check traffic with Marty. Next Wednesday, by the way, John Summer is going to be here, former KSBY anchorman and publisher of Central Coast Magazine. He's our new director of the Visitors and Conference Bureau. Let's see John's vision, hear his vision for boosting the tourist trade on the Central Coast. Weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, it is the Dave Congleton Show. We are your hometown radio talk show. Lee Zamlock is on this broadcast, San Luis Obispo author. Her novels include Catch the Sun and Bear Medicine. Inviting you to come on by tomorrow, Saturday, noon to 2 p.m. at the Novel Experience for a signing. If you can't make it but you want to read Catch the Sun or Bear Medicine, then you can get these books wherever you get your books. It's as simple as that. Now, for example, Catch the Sun, I'm trying to give our listeners an introduction to your writing. You draw upon Marilyn Monroe.
I do draw upon Marilyn Monroe. And the protagonist of the book, who is a model, kind of with her career on the skids, starts to feel that she's being haunted by Marilyn Monroe. And she starts to see her and hear her and ultimately begins to believe that she belongs to Marilyn Monroe in some way. And part of all of that is examining both through the Marilyn Monroe part of the story and through her, that is the Amanda Grace, who is the protagonist part of the story, is examining who are we really. Amanda Grace is not the protagonist's real name. That's a name she took. Marilyn Monroe is not Marilyn's real name. That's a name she took.
Right.
Both of them have kind of an identity or a persona that they have presented as if it were a real person.
So you're drawn to the issue of identity.
I'm drawn to the issue of identity.
Do we know you're really Lee Zamlock?
No, we don't.
Marty, have we done a background check on this guest? I don't know.
Yeah, I am. You know, I several years ago was reading the newspaper, and I came across a story that intrigued me and has sort of haunted me ever since. And I haven't actually written a novel about this, but it kind of has triggered a lot of in my writing, and that is a young woman who believed that she was really the reincarnation of a young Irish woman who had died as a young mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to Ireland, and she believed she saw all these places she used to live in, and she met her sons who were now in their 90s. And she was absolutely convinced, and they became convinced, that she was their mother. And it made me think, and this was an actual story. I mean, who knows, you know, where what was really going on there. But it made me start to wonder which one of her was real, the woman who was born in America, the woman who believed who was born in Ireland. Who was she really? And how do we know that we're doing what we thought we were supposed to do with our lives? And do we have a destiny that we don't even know about? And all of those kinds of things. And so I put that into my writing, both in Catch the Sun and in a different way with Bear Medicine,
which is much more Native American and spiritual in tone.
Yes. The Bear Medicine is about a young woman who is half white, half Lakota Sioux, and grows up in the white world, and then ultimately, because there's a tragedy in her life, goes back to the Pine Ridge Reservation and becomes a medicine woman and completely changes who she is. And again, her name changes. Her white name is Rachel. Her Native American name is Jade. And then at the very end of the book, she becomes, what is it, a bear woman dreamwalker.
As long as she doesn't become Angelina Jolie.
I don't know. That wouldn't be so bad.
How much research did you have to do for Bear Medicine to make it authentic?
I had to do a lot. I did a lot of online research. I read a lot of books about shamanism. Also, the Lakota Sioux rituals and customs, and I did a lot of stuff online to look at the geography and look at the way of life and, you know, population, all that kind of stuff. It took a lot of work to do that book.
Lee Zamlock on the Dave Congleton Show, Catch the Sun and Bear Medicine, two of her novels. Tomorrow you can come by and meet her at the Novel Experience Saturday, from noon to 2 p.m. Come on by and say hi and talk to her about her books and find out what's going on. So a lot of people are listening, and some of them will come by tomorrow. they want to support you, but also they're like, well, gee, how did you do it and how do I do it? Talk a little bit about advice you give to people who are just starting out on the journey.
Write, edit. That's number one. Number two, join a group of other writers and a little critique group of people who are serious about their writing, and they meet once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, whatever you can manage. And, you learn a lot about writing by looking at other people's work. You learn a lot about writing by letting other people look at your work. And most of all, though, you learn a lot of writing by playing and experimenting and failing and trying again and figuring out what works and what doesn't work.
One of my favorite quotes is remains from Dorothy Parker, write 5 words, rewrite 7.
Exactly.
How much of Rachel is drawn from your own life?
None.
Really?
I mean, I suppose...
Because you're supposed to write what you know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the internal psychological stuff is about me, in the sense that Bear Medicine is about Jade Whitefeather's spiritual journey, trying to figure out how to become the spiritual healer that she is destined to become. But the facts of their lives are not similar to mine. I was never a Playboy model, for example.
Well, if you were, we'd keep you here for another half hour. We'd want to hear that story.
Yeah, really.
How much research did you have to do on Marilyn Monroe for Catch the Sun?
A lot. Again, there's half the book is really Marilyn's story in terms of the last summer of her life. And I read a lot about her, and I saw a lot of her movies and studied them, and studied her mannerisms and as I say, the biographical facts. And, of course, some of the stuff I fictionalized. Obviously, I made up dialogue and so on. But most of the actual events in that summer took place. And
she died in August.
She died August. What was the date? August 2nd or 3rd, I believe.
Yeah, early August.
Yeah, 6th maybe. I can't remember. It's in the book somewhere. But... she did. And, of course, the controversy always was it accidental? Was it suicide? And, of course, for the crazies, was it a plot by the Kennedys?
It was, wasn't it? I don't know.
Yeah.
What's next for Liz Amlock?
I am working on another book right now. And this does actually draw from my own life because it's about growing up in a Catholic school. Catholic high school, and we had the great fortune or misfortune of having a gaggle of nuns who were extremely conservative, and they were very strange, and I've always wanted to kind of try to figure them out and understand them.
Was there ever a school where the nuns were liberal?
I think there actually were. I do hear people talk about nice nuns.
I've never heard that story. Come on by tomorrow from noon to 2 and say hi to Liz Amlock at the Novel Experience, downtown San Luis Obispo. Check out her novels, Catch the Sun and The Bear Medicine. Lee, thanks for coming by this afternoon. Final thoughts about writing?
Just keep doing it. And, the more you do it, the better you get. That's been my experience, and it's fun. It's fun to see yourself getting better.
So, I mean, you're sure it is fun. It's a fun process.
Well, sometimes it's fun.
Okay. It can be fun.
It can be fun.
But it's also a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Kind of like doing this interview with me.
Yeah.
All right, Lee, thank you.
Thanks.
Let's go to Fox News. We'll check traffic. The cams up next right here on News Talk 920 KVEC. 4:05 on the Central Coast. Welcome back to Hometown Radio on this Friday, September 25th, 2009. I'm Dave Congleton along with Marty Hall. She is in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center with all the latest in Time Saver traffic and weather together. Marty.
Thank you, Dave. Busy afternoon here on the Central Coast. Just one incident to report on at this time. Out on Highway 166 in the Cuyama area, site of an earlier incident, we've got one lane open out there, so traffic is able to get through there, allowing those tow trucks in there as well. CHP is currently on the scene. And as far as the weather goes, well, it's going to be a warm weekend, I think, no matter where you are. Lows tonight in the 50s, some clouds and fog along the coastline tomorrow in the morning, but lifting, and we'll have temperatures mid-60s, 70s at the beaches, some high 80s, 90 degrees in coastal valley areas on this side of the grade, and then 105 up in Paso for the weekend. Traffic and Weather Together is brought to you by Central Coast Lending, the host of KVEC's Mortgage Matters. Today's rate is 4.625% with an APR of 4.804, and that's on a 30-year fixed loan. So if you're purchasing a home, currently paying a higher rate, or need loan modification help, call on the experts. Central Coast Lending, 771-9870. Marty Hall here in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show on News Talk 920 KVEC.
Marty, thank you very much. Still to come on this broadcast during the 5 o'clock hour, Dr. Lawrence Doyle and Dr. John Keller will join us. Let's talk about the search for extraterrestrial life in the universe. Dr. Doyle is a leading national expert on this subject. He is in town for the next couple of days doing some presentations. We want to tell you all about it. We'll check in with our friends from the ballet and then swap some dog stories. It is the Dave Congleton Show. We are your hometown radio talk show. Always good to see our friend Bob Kamm. He's back in studio. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Dave.
How are you, sir?
Very fine.
And now you have a better half to share with us.
I have a much better half.
Hi, Dave.
Andrea, nice to meet you.
You too.
So we have Bob Kamm and Andrea Kamm.
You certainly do.
And we're going to talk a little bit about the San Luis Relationship Institute.
I think we are, Dave.
All right. Yeah. I want to hear about your relationship, though, because this is relatively new. And you've been hiding this woman from me now for the last couple of years. How did the two of you meet?
Well,
I'll get nosy.
A mutual friend had the idea that we should be together for about 8 years, but we were both otherwise involved. And then suddenly we weren't, and she realized it. And I got an email one morning in 2007 that, I should contact this lady.
Because weren't you down south somewhere?
I was, okay. Laguna Beach.
All right.
Yeah.
And so Bob Kamm emails you?
Or? He emails me about a 50-word email, and I happened to not be in with clients, read the email, and thought, well, this. I had read his book of poetry a couple weeks before that, because she was also telling me about this man up here on the Central Coast.
So right.
I knew from the poetry that he was a good man and gentle man.
He is that.
Yes, I thought so when I read the poems he wrote. So I get the email, and I immediately sat down and wrote
a poem
about a I do that on the side, but not like Bob. About a 50-word email back to him,
because you can't commit too much up front. You just got to kind of hold your fire a little bit.
Well,
you know, it's interesting because when that's an interesting thing that you just said, because when I read his email, there was a part of me that, you know, do I answer it now? Do I wait and answer it later? I not want to come across as too anxious? And then I thought, you know, I really don't want to do that. I just want to be authentic and be myself and do what's coming naturally. So I just sent the email back to him. And our relationship has been like that ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
The short version is, I picked up the phone and called her right after I got her email. We were on the phone every day for 3 hours a day until we met a week later on July 27th, 2007.
You met a week later?
Yes, face-to-face, because she was 250 miles away. So since then, she moved up here with me. We bought a house together. We've traveled. We've been in Peru and Costa Rica, and we're just doing our life here, Dave, studying new things. You know, it's like a rebirth.
I can't keep up with this guy. I can't keep up with him.
I can barely keep up with him.
She does pretty well.
So you came to the Central Coast.
I did.
What did you think of the place?
I loved it. And it sort of, you know, we were doing a long-distance relationship, and, you know, what came up for us is, how do we do this?
That long-distance stuff never works.
It doesn't.
My first marriage ended in divorce for that primary reason.
Yeah, I don't think it does work.
Can't do it.
Can't be together and build intimacy when you're 250 miles apart.
So. You're married. What's intimacy?
Yeah, you're married to the road.
Charlotte's out of town, I can say that.
Okay.
So he came down, I came up, and it was, I thought it was beautiful. It isn't crowded up here. And, you know, it was getting to the point in Laguna in the summer where it would take, you know, an hour to get from one end of town to the other. So
what is the San Luis Relationship Institute?
Well,
This is an institute that we've just opened, Dave, which is committed to helping people grow their intimacy skills across the landscape of all of their relationships, but certainly starting with love relationships, with partnered relationships. How's that for a short answer?
That's it?
That's it. That's a lot, though, isn't it?
Well, he's leaving out that I've been a certified Imago, advanced Imago clinician for over 17 years.
You better stop right there. Imago.
Imago.
What is it? What is that?
It's a Latin word that means image of self and other. And it's based on the premise that we select out in a partner our own positive and negative caregivers in our life, or people that were significant to us in our life, and that we select them out to finish unfinished business.
It's
kind of deep.
Yeah, it is deep, but it's
got to go on FM. This is too deep for AM.
Well, I think we should say that this is the work of Dr. Harville Hendricks, who wrote a best-selling book that I find a lot of people are familiar with, which is Getting the Love You Want.
Isn't that the guy on Oprah? He's always on Oprah.
He's been on Oprah quite a bit. Okay. He's a wonderful guy.
I don't recognize the name, but I certainly recognize the title of the book.
Yeah, Getting the Love You Want. So Andrea actually has been a licensed marriage and family therapist for almost 30 years, but she got into this specific model about 17 years ago. And when we met, because of the work I do in leadership development, you know, we really had a lot of common ground. And she started telling me about this, and I got interested, and I read his book. And the next thing I know, she's telling me, well, you know, they give training. And I go, well, I don't have a degree. I mean, how could I do the training? You know, I'm just kind of a guy who found his way in life. And she said, no, they have what they call an educator track. So I'm thinking, okay, the educator track, this isn't going to be too challenging. Man, I have busted my buns ever since March, put in about 250 hours, wrote an 80-page paper, and I am now a certified Imago educator. So I can assist her in the therapy that she does, and I can be her partner in presenting these workshops.
But with respect,
yes,
there are several couples counselors, couples,
of course, mm-hmm.
that I could mention. Mm-hmm. What distinguishes the San Luis Relationship Institute?
You want to take that?
Yeah, both comment on it.
Well, we can both comment on it. I think what's different is that what I found early in my practice with couples, I don't know about how other couples therapists in the area are doing the work, but I know that there are no other Imago workshop presenters in the area, and I think maybe one other Imago couples therapist in the area. But what's different about this, and what I found early in my practice, is that most people that came into my office wanted to be safe, and they wanted intimacy. But they would come into the office and recreate the power struggle that they were feeling at home. This work actually helps couples to get at the power struggle. It keeps the therapist out of their process. It helps them to stay in a process with each other to discover with each other and deepen with each other what their actual issues are. It isn't about homework assignments, and it isn't about the therapist giving them advice or ideas or suggestions for how they can improve their relationship. It's really about helping the couple to discover, you know, what are the issues, what is the power struggle, where are they stuck, and how can they get beyond that to real intimacy with each other.
I don't know how you could be involved with a therapist. You should be examining, evaluating every move, every statement you say.
You know, I'm really glad
you can't
you
fake
said
her.
That.
You can't fake her.
I'm really glad
she's
you
an
said
expert.
That because the reality is that Andrea is a great therapist, and one of the marks of a great therapist is she does not try to do therapy on her spouse. But it's true. I mean, she has a very sensitive BS meter, so I don't get away with anything. But that's good, you know, because I really don't want to. But I guess I would underscore a point that she made for folks who are listening who might think about, you know, working with us. And that is that in a lot of therapies, the therapist really is sort of the activator of everything. And I have actually worked with clients in my leadership consulting who have been in therapy and talked about their interactions with the therapist when they were sitting there as a couple. And what Harville Hendricks did is actually pretty revolutionary. He said, no, we're only going to be coaches as therapists. We're going to step back, put the couple face to face, and help them learn a new way of truly hearing each other and truly communicating with each other in a positive and loving way.
So what are the parallels between someone who's a good leader and someone who's a good partner?
Hey, that is a great question. That's a great question. Well, I think the first thing is something I just referred to, which is the ability to see other people as truly autonomous, separate human beings, which sometimes in love relationships as well as in business, we forget. We think people are sort of an appendage of us rather than separate, autonomous, miraculous human beings. So as a leader, you have to be able to see that. And when you do, a good leader really knows how to engage people, get them interacting with each other, get them listening to each other, and he listens to them. And I think above all, empathy. A really great leader has empathy. And to me, the Imago approach to couples work really is a practice of empathy. And the workshop that we're going to be giving the third weekend of October, I think that's what people will come away with, is some actual structured ways of communicating which represent a practice of empathy on a daily basis that a couple can carry through their lives, that can serve them their whole lives.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more of our conversation with Bob and Andrea Kemp and talk about the Institute, talk about the upcoming workshop, and some of the issues they deal with. This is News Talk 920 KVEC.
The Dave Congleton Show is brought to you by Central Coast Pathology. For routine lab work that is quick and easy, go to Central Coast Pathology. You have the choice.
.422 on the Central Coast. Stay with us. Still to come, we're going to give away some free pizzas from Fatty's. And we'll meet Dr. Lawrence Doyle and share with him his amazing search for extraterrestrial life out there in the universe. We are continuing our conversation with Bob and Andrea Kemp. They're the co-founders of the San Luis Relationship Institute. And they're going to have a workshop coming up for couples called Getting the Love You Want. This is when, Bob?
This is October 23rd, 4th, and 5th, right here in San Luis Obispo. If people want to know more about it, they can go to our website, which is sanluisrelationshipinstitute.com.
Who are you looking for? Who should consider coming to a workshop like this?
Oh, I think couples that want to have a richer, closer relationship.
Are we talking about couples in trouble?
Couples that may be in trouble.
Couples thinking of divorce.
Couples thinking about divorce.
Or just progressive couples who want to do a little routine maintenance.
Couples who want to do routine maintenance.
Oil change.
And couples, couples who just want
the lube.
To...
Don't forget the lube.
We like to say couples who want a better toolbox for making their relationship work.
Right, because that's what attracted me to this, Dave. I mean, I like ideas. You've known me long enough to know I like ideas, but you know, the business world had made me a pretty practical guy as well.
Right.
And Harville Hendrix, who designed this work and is the author of Getting the Love You Want, has created a toolbox of communication structures that change the way couples talk to each other. And I mean, what do we need to change if not that?
Well, give me an example here.
Okay. Well, I think we probably should talk about the core piece, which is called the Imago Dialogue. And instead of a couple coming into a therapist's office or, you know, sitting at home arguing with each other, trying to get the therapist to referee or their, you know, the uncle or, God knows, the best friend to referee, this dialogue is set up in such a way that the individual who first has an issue says to his or her partner, you know, I'd like to have an Imago dialogue. Is this a good time? You have to ask for permission to have this dialogue. And the receiver of that is obligated to say yes at some point. In other words, it might be, well, not right now, but how about in an hour? Because they may have something else going on. They may not be in the right space to have a conversation. Okay? So you can jump in here anytime you want.
Oh, you're doing great.
As I'm describing this. So now the person who asked for the appointment is going to sit down and describe in a relative few sentences what is going on for them. But what they don't get to do, what is out of bounds, is blaming, shaming, accusing, and analyzing their partner.
Criticizing
their partner. Now, some people out in the audience are going, oh, gee, that's no fun. Well, I've been blaming, shaming, criticizing, analyzing, interpreting my partner for years. I don't get to do that anymore? Well, you know, it's really not very productive. It's really not. So your partner may have done something that has triggered you. So you certainly get to describe the behavior sort of in a journalistic way. Well, when you did such and such. For example, Let's say we were supposed to meet at 7 o'clock and you showed up at 7:20. Yeah. And so not you made me feel, but then I felt. And then the purpose of this dialogue, it really is for each of us to own our own reality. And, you know, Dr. Hendricks would say that almost about 95% of the real heat of the issue in couples is actually old stuff coming out of earlier experiences, probably in the first 7 to 10 years of life. And only about 5% of it is real in the present. So maybe you really were late, and there's something you can do about that. But the heat that it generated in me is probably from the past. So this dialogue calls me to responsibility, to own what my own feelings are and not accuse and blame and shame and scream and yell at you.
This is so California.
Yeah. Well,
this is so California.
I just want you to know Harville's not from California.
He's New York.
He's a New York guy.
Comment on his example, please, Andrew.
That's just the first part, by the way.
I mean...
Well, there are several structured dialogues that help couple to deepen their understanding of each other, the dynamics that drive each other in a relationship, and the dynamics that lead into power struggles. There's a structured dialogue that Bob talked about. There's a parent-child dialogue. There is a frustration dialogue. So there are several, four or five.
It's even a dream dialogue.
Dream dialogue, which Bob and I used this morning with a dream he had last night.
Yeah.
And we wound up having some profound insights into what the dream was about.
Yeah.
So basically, I mean, I think the basic answer to that is the work is all based on communication, deepening communication through intentional dialogue. Intentional.
But in order to do that, the guy has to talk.
Well,
that's true.
Yes, he has to want to talk, Dave. This isn't for people who don't want to talk.
And the reason that so many people don't talk is that it isn't safe. You know, they get two or three sentences out and somebody is jumping on them or criticizing them or shaming them. And that comes from usually from very old stuff. And in this work, people will learn why they have the opportunity to be quiet, to not be responded to, or to not be criticized if they don't show up and say what's expected of them.
So it sounds like listening is just as important as
Absolutely.
Communicating. You have to learn how to listen.
Yeah.
That's right.
And listen
actually,
respectfully.
Yes.
I would put it this way to your listeners out there. I would say imagine if you have, let's just say you have a pretty good marriage, but there's a couple of issues that just seem to come through over and over again. It's almost like you're having the same argument. You know, once a month or once every 2 weeks or whatever, just imagine for a moment that, let's just say if it's your issue, that you could actually completely get it out of your system and be heard. Really feel that you were heard, that your point of view made some sense to the other person, even if they don't agree with it, and that they might have some empathy for that. So, A, you would be heard. Now, on the other hand, imagine that if you're husband or wife is not, you don't think they're a very good listener. They're actually going to learn to listen. And it is such an exciting thing to master that it is almost like a form of meditation to learn to listen well. And so while the work is on the relationship, each individual actually is growing and yet growing together. Like Harville Hendricks would say that he will not see a member of a couple separately because the client is the relationship.
But can you teach an old dog new tricks?
Dave, I'm an old dog.
No, but I mean, but in terms, if you got a couple who's been together 15, 20 years.
Well, that is usually what.
They've got their bad habits
mm-hmm.
down.
Yeah.
Can you work with them?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because the work is really not about their bad habits, but it's about what's underneath those habits that's reinforcing them or creating them.
Bob Kim, how do people sign up for Getting the Love You Want workshop?
Well, they can either call us at 235-1718.
Repeat that number.
235-1718, and we'll tell them more until they're comfortable and they want to say yes or no. They can go on our website, which is sanluisrelationshipinstitute.com, and they'll find, we think it's a very friendly website. If they click on upcoming workshops, they'll find out what they need.
Isn't it slrii.com?
That is yes, that would also get them there, but we just...
Okay, but either one.
Either one, slrii.com or sanluisrelationshipinstitute.com, or call us at 235-1718.
Hang on, everybody. We're going to go to California Headline News. We'll come back and continue our conversation with Bob and Andrea Kim. This is News Talk 920 KVEC, giving you the talk show you want. 436 on the Central Coast as we go to Marty Hall in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center with the very latest in time-saver traffic and weather together. Marty.
Thank you, Dave. Highway 166 out in Cuyama, site of a traffic incident out there, has been very busy as far as the lane closure there. Looks like they're estimating that they should have both lanes open in about 10 to 15 minutes or so this afternoon. We also have a traffic collision up in the North County. Not a lot of details, though. Eastbound Highway 46 at Union Road in Paso Robles. No other details at this time. Like I said, traffic volume is picking up. It's Friday afternoon here on the Central Coast heading into the weekend, and quite a lot of activity out there. Weather-wise, it's going to be warm, too. Currently 74 clear in San Luis Obispo. Tomorrow's temperatures, we're looking at beaches mid-60s, mid-70s out there. Coastal Valley areas up in the high 80s, low 90s, and up in the North County, we're looking at triple digits, about 105 for the weekend. Traffic and weather is brought to you by Fantastic Sam's Hair Salons. With locations from Templeton to Carpinteria, we're in your neighborhood. Visit ccsams.com to find a salon near you. You're listening to Newstalk 920 KVEC with Dave Congleton.
Marty, thank you. On Wednesday, John Summer will be here, former CASB Y anchor. Hello. Now the new head of the County Visitors and Conference Bureau. We'll find out how he's doing on the job and what his vision is for tourism on the Central Coast. On Monday at San Luis City Council member Andrew Carter will continue our conversation about Cal Poly and Cuesta students drinking and the city of San Luis, and preview the very important San Luis City Council meeting coming up on Tuesday. It is the Dave Congleton Show. We are your hometown radio talk show. Back with Bob and Andrea Cam. It is the San Luis Relationship Institute. Big workshop coming up at the end of October, called Getting the Love You Want. Bob Cam, let's remind people about the workshop, please.
Okay, well, this is the workshop designed by Dr. Harville Hendricks, the author of the book Getting the Love You Want. A lot of people might remember seeing him on Oprah. And it will be the 23rd through 25th of October. Folks can learn more by going to our website, which is sanluisrelationshipinstitute.com, or they can call us at 235-1718. And this workshop really is for couples who are in all sorts of states, couples who have, you know, who are pretty happy with their relationship, but just want to improve their communication so that their relationship stays rich and vibrant, and couples who might be experiencing some challenges, and even couples who might be considering divorce.
But what's the difference between a therapy and a workshop?
Well,
I mean, you're going to give me therapy if I come there. You're going to give me homework. You're going to make me do stuff.
No. I put it to you this way. Here's the difference between education and therapy as I understand it. In this workshop, I mean, Andrea does therapy. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Right.
She's an advanced Imago therapist. I am a certified Imago educator. So we can offer that if people want that. But this workshop includes a number of presentations. Most of them are 15 minutes at a time, where people get introduced to some new ideas, new ways of looking at relationships and understanding them. There are demonstrations of the various dialogues that Harville Hendricks has designed that help us stay connected with each other rather than getting into blaming and shaming, et cetera.
And he's pretty successful.
He's been incredibly successful. He's trained over 2,000 therapists worldwide. This workshop is delivered in I don't know how many countries, but when in our training just a couple of weeks ago, we were with one gal from Switzerland and a guy from South Africa who were part of the training. So it is worldwide. It has been proven to be an effective introduction to a different way of communicating.
All right. She's been doing this for years. You're brand new. Mm-hmm. Tell me something, Bob, that surprised you that you learned from studying the Imago method.
Well, a number of things, Dave. I guess the number one thing is that, you know, people who have heard me on this radio station know I adored my parents.
Right.
I adored my parents.
Right.
But I had my issues with them when I was younger. Fortunately, they lived long enough for us to work a lot of it out. But, you know, I came from a background with a big personality father.
Yep.
And he was a big, strong guy. And what a lot of people didn't know was that he had quite a temper as well. And I grew up with that. And I think that got into me. And it's not like I have been unaware of it. You know, I've been working on it for 30, 35 years. But through the Imago dialogue, what I found is I just don't have to get mad. because I know I'm going to be heard. And the reason I was getting mad was because that little boy in me was sure he wasn't going to be heard. So he better be loud. So you see, I mean, it's just, it's a perfect little loop. So in the dialogue, I know Andrea is going to hear me, and not only hear me, but what I've learned since we've been actively working at this together for about 18 months is that she will be empathetic to me if I can own my feelings.
So have you seen a difference in him as a person, as a partner, as he's learned this method?
Absolutely.
Talk about that.
Yeah, well, early in the relationship, you know, having been trained in this work, I knew that, you know, we get into a relationship because of love and, you know, what we think is love.
Attraction.
And
chemistry,
neurochemicals. And within 8 months to a year, we're in a power struggle because we're past that stage and more relaxed with each other, and our issues start coming up. So I knew all that going in. I didn't say much about it because I don't ever want to be a therapist with my family or my partner. So I just waited, and when it came up the first time, Bob went into a tantrum over something, and I went into shock. So we did our basic roles, which are maximizer and I'm a minimizer. So
I'm sorry. A maximizer and a minimizer.
Right, right. Well, the premise is that in all relationships, you will have one partner who makes something big and another partner who makes it small. Those are adaptive mechanisms that we learned early in childhood. Mine came out of having a grandmother who said, Andrea, don't yell, don't run, don't jump, don't make noise. So I learned to get smaller and quieter. Bob's came out of a family who said, Bob, show up. Talk. Talk faster. Talk big. Talk smarter. If you want to be seen and heard in this family, you have to show up and talk. So we are what Harvard would call perfect imago match.
We're a perfect match. Mm-hmm. And actually, can I pause just for a second and tell the listening audience, if you have a similar dynamic in your relationship and you think this is crazy and, after all, why did I pick this person? Actually, that's perfect. You are supposed to be together. If there's stress in your relationship, it's because you're probably a good match. You're supposed to be together. You're supposed to have a maximizer and a minimizer. And if you get into the proper process, and obviously we think imago is it, you can actually help each other grow and heal from those extremes of maximizing and minimizing towards a deeper consciousness somewhere in the middle. And so have I been moving in that direction?
Wow.
Darling?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
So I don't throw, you know, it's hard for me to hear her say publicly, you know, he threw a tantrum, but the truth is
I got to pause at that one, too.
Yeah. No, it was a tantrum to her. To me, I was just being loud, you know. But people should hear that because, you know, her reception of my projection matters. It matters to me. And so, you know.
He was just being passionate.
Passionate. He is passionate.
How are you going to get guys to attend this, with all due respect?
Well,
this sounds like something women, I mean, aren't the women more concerned about the relationship than the man for heterosexual couples?
Depends on whether she's a maximizer or a minimizer.
Okay.
You get women who are minimizers, and they're not the ones who are proactive in making a relationship.
But guys will actually take the initiative and say, we need to go to a couple's weekend?
Some men, not as many. But some do. It depends on what's going on in the relationship and the amount of pain that's there, you know, how motivated couples are to come to therapy. And
also remember, the founder of the therapy is a man, Harville Hendricks. My professor that I've been working with over the last several months is a guy who's like 70 years old and married for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And so I just guess I want to remind all of us that men are not this monolithic cohort. You know, there's some of us who are more sensitive and some of us who are less sensitive. But in the end, we got married for a reason. And most of us, I think, would prefer to stay married and actually deepen the relationship rather than go through the hell of a divorce. And you know what that is. And we know what that is. And a lot of people listening know what that
although
is.
I could use the loss of 30 pounds again.
Right. You go to the gym, don't you? That's the only upside to a divorce.
No, when I got divorced, I lost 30 pounds.
Oh, because you had nobody to cook or because you went back to the gym?
No, all the stress.
Oh, the stress.
The stress of going through the divorce.
Well,
I lost 30
all
pounds.
All of the above.
I'm one of these guys. You don't know anything about me other than what he told me. I'm 56. And my first real relationship was as a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. I have always been in a relationship since then. I cannot not be in a relationship.
Well, we're designed to be in relationships.
That's but I mean, I'm uber
Yeah.
If one ends for whatever reason, I'm within another relationship like that.
Nothing wrong with
I
that.
I just got to be in a relationship.
Yeah. Well, you don't like being alone, Dave.
You're a relational person. And you
although even though I'm in a relationship, I like being alone. But uh-huh. I know, never mind.
Well, Dave, all that, actually, it matters. All it does is underscore that we human beings are complicated. We are not one-dimensional.
I'm as complicated as they get, but you already know that.
Yeah, and even when we use these terms like maximizer and minimizer, we don't mean to one-dimensionalize the thing. It's just a helpful way, one helpful way of looking at how people match up. But I do think it's unique that Hendrick says that we do not get together to be happy. We get together to grow and heal. He says that's the way human beings are designed. We don't have to like the design, but that's the design.
Do that again.
We do not fall in love and make a commitment to a relationship to be happy. We may think that, but that is not what it's really about. What it's really about is we get together to help each other grow and heal together.
You buy into that, Andrew?
I do. And to in addition to that, Harville will say, we don't get married because we love each other, although we think we do. We actually get married to learn to love each other.
Yeah.
So we have fallen.
This is so California. This is so California.
But think about it, Dave.
He'd say it's New York, actually.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, that the romantic period when we have all these hormones blowing through our brains and we're out of our minds and, you know, it's like, what can I do for you? I just want to do for you. I just want to make you happy. And the other person feels the same way. So you have two lovers. But then something changes, which is that the high tide of hormones and neurotransmitters starts to diminish. And suddenly you have two lovees. What are you going to do for me? How come you won't do this for me? Why are you that way? Why can't you be this way? And that's what Harville calls the power struggle. So it's really
you and I are one and I am the one.
Yeah, you and I are one and I'm the one. So why can't you be? You just do what I tell you to do. It's like it starts out as a democracy and very soon it's a dictatorship.
Well, let me drop the hand grenade here. You took his name.
I did.
Why? Was that any hesitation on your part? Because my wife is Charlotte Alexander.
Yeah.
She'd rather have her left arm cut off. You want to see her cringe?
Yeah.
Call her Charlotte Congleton.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah. There was any debate about that?
Well, I like Alexander better than Congleton. Yeah.
So do I. Any debate?
No debate. I loved his name. I actually think it's a beautiful name.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dave, we should not assume that men are not going to be the first one to raise their hand and say, you know what? I think this could be a worthwhile experience. Let's find out more about it.
Bob and Andrew Kamm on the Dave Congleton Show. Give them a call at 235-1718. Quick break. We'll come back for a final segment, and perhaps Bob will share with us some of his poetry. This is News Talk 920 KVEC.
The Dave Congleton Show is sponsored in part by Fatty's Pizza, the Fatty's Pizza in Santa Maria, the one in Grover Beach, and the one right here in San Luis Obispo.
All right, Marty, thank you. Before we let Bob and Andrea Kamm go, Bob is going to share with us a poem he wrote for Andrea.
I did indeed, Dave, and it's called The Choice.
Here we go.
Love chose us long before we met. So long, no one but love herself could know. Quietly encouraging, nudging, sometimes even kicking us closer and closer, even though we seemed further and further from her handy or footwork. Although there were times across decades I sensed you were coming, felt you in the next room, around a corner, across the street, the intimation of your presence in the presence of a lesser love. I could smell you, almost make out your eyes, the lines of your lips, the way you'd ask a question, disagree, come through a door with a bag of groceries, sip tea. I almost knew exactly what would anger or inspire you, how certain words would engage your teeth and tongue, how consciousness would move forward from the backs of your eyes, how you'd shape childhood stories, share troublesome dreams, whisper endearments. At times it was so strong I could almost draw your outline in the air. Almost, but then you were gone. We thought we could control love, tell her how to paint and sing. We wanted only pretty pictures and sweet songs. Our ideas of perfection are not the same as love's. Love is so much smarter. She carefully prepared our way, luring us through miseries we did not seek or understand. Who would ask for suffering without a guarantee of redemption? The women with dark-throated songs who clawed at my ventricles, the men who made you pay for their sweetness with savagery, who would choose such a fate? confirm in the thick of it that the thick of it was necessary and in its own way good. But love knows her craft. She has made us a song of her own perfection, with under and overtones irrefutable and complete. Every dangerous step along the way holds its place, like shadows and blood in the background of a painting celebrating the end of war. Love chose us. She most certainly did. We had nothing to do with that mystery, only our obligation to stagger forward, believing and disbelieving, until this moment. This moment when we finally know her will. Even so, it feels necessary to choose with active arms what she has chosen for us. So here I affirm for my own part, sweet woman. I choose love's work. I choose you and only you. Your voice and mouth, your eyes and skin, your fingers and eyelashes, the nape of your neck, the back of your knee, the flesh of your forearm, and no others. Your nightmare, your daybreak, your grief and glory, and no others. Your wildness and willfulness, your shadows and blood, and no others. Absolutely no others, ever. I choose love's incomprehensible perfection, manifest in you, only you.
Hey! Bob Camp. How do you react when somebody writes a poem like that for you?
I cried, actually.
Now, what I want to know is what poem you're going to write to her 2 years from now. I want you to come back. I want a new poem.
You will have a new poem. You will. I've been writing them for 2 years. I'm going to publish a collection here before long called Love Over 60.
Well, let's remind people what's happening, Bob Camp, from the San Luis Relationship Institute.
We are offering an Imago Getting the Love You Want workshop October 23rd through 25th in San Luis Obispo. You can call us to find out more at 235-1718 or go to our website, sanluisrelationshipinstitute.com.
And this is all based on the teachings of Dr. Harville Hendrix.
Harville Hendrix, author of Getting the Love You Want.
So people can read more about him.
Yeah, they can read his book. And again, we are delivering a workshop that he created. We've been trained to do that. How about that, Dave?
I just want guys to show up.
Yeah, they do, actually.
Well, they do, because it's for couples, Dave. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the workshop's being delivered all over the world, really, and has been done probably thousands of times.
Well, if I've heard of the guy, then something must be right, because I don't. But I've heard Getting Love You Want. I think everybody's heard of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Andrea, nice to meet you.
You too,
thanks,
Dave,
for coming by. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Gosh. Well, it's been great to be here. Thank you for having us.
Are you going to write a poem for Bob when he writes one? Do you have to respond?
I did write one that I responded to.
Okay. Next time you come on, you can read yours.
We can read them both.
It's
wrote
framed
one
on my dresser, actually.
Yeah. So I'm certainly.
I remember this phase of my relationship.
Oh, he said so patronizingly.
Well, then the next time we come on, you'll have to read the poems from your relationship.
Yeah.
Bob, final thoughts.
Well, I would encourage men and women in relationships to check out our website at sanluisrelationshipinstitute.com or call us at 235-1718. This workshop is really worthwhile, and you'll walk away with a lot of tools that can serve you for the rest of your life.
I just see the glow between the two of you, and it's great.
Thank you.
It's cool.
Thank you,
Dave.
This is for real.
This is for real.
All right, thanks for coming by. Again, that phone number is 235-1718. Let's go to Fox News, find out what's happening in the world, and then let's explore the universe with Dr. Lawrence Doyle and Dr. John Keller. This is News Talk 920, KVEC. Five 504 on the Central Coast. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Hometown Radio on this Friday, September 25th, 2009. I'm Dave Congleton. We've got Marty Hall in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center. She's out there checking the time and the weather and the traffic and also looking for any kind of life in the universe. Marty, what are you finding?
Oh, it's scary.
Yeah, not really.
Yes, well, good news. We've got both lanes open here, Highway 166 out in the Cuyama area. No other incidents or hazards to report. Busy afternoon here on the Central Coast, that's for sure, traffic-wise. Weather-wise, it's beautiful and warm out there, and that'll continue for the weekend, definitely. Lows tonight in the 50s around the county, and then tomorrow mid-60s, mid-70s at the beaches, and we've got 88 degrees or so as a high here in San Luis Obispo, but getting up to mid-90s in some of the coastal valley areas here on this side of the grade, and then we're looking at a high of 105 up in the North County for the weekend. Traffic and weather brought to you by Slo County Farmers Markets. Tomorrow's Farmers Market is in San Luis Obispo from 8:30 to 10:30 in the morning next to Cost Plus and Embassy Suites off of Madonna, and from noon to 2:30 at the City Hall parking lot in Arroyo Grande. Visit slocountyfarmers.org for more information. You're listening to News Talk 920 KVEC with Dave Congleton.
Marty, thank you very much. Okay, drive home slowly tonight. You'll want to hear this segment. This is going to be pretty darn interesting. Let's start off by saying hello to our good friend, Dr. John Keller, a local astronomer professor at Cal Poly. John, nice to see you again.
Good to see you, Dave.
And please introduce Lawrence Doyle for us and give us some background on him.
Sure, thanks. So Lawrence Doyle is with us tonight. Lawrence is actually here to give our second annual Cal Poly Public Astronomy Night lecture tomorrow night in San Luis Obispo at Cal Poly. But Lawrence is actually a former Central Coast native.
Cuesta graduate?
Actually grew up in Cambria and was a Cuesta graduate. Lawrence went to San Diego State University and did an astronomy degree and master's degree, and then finished his PhD in Heidelberg in Germany and completed his astronomy PhD in Germany, and has been working for the SETI Institute up in Mountain View, California since the late 80s.
Which stands for?
The SETI, SETI stands for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. It's actually a scientific organization that kind of spun off of NASA work that was happening back in the 80s. If you saw the movie Contact,
yeah,
Ellie in that movie is an individual named Jill Tarter, who actually works up at SETI, who helped form the SETI Institute back in the 80s.
Hmm.
And that the very first half of that movie is actually based upon the SETI Institute.
So when and where is Lawrence Doyle speaking tomorrow?
So Lawrence will be at Cal Poly in Phillips Hall, which is on the backside of the PAC, the mm-hmm. Performing Arts Center, from 7 to 9. And he'll be talking about the Kepler Science Mission, which is actually a space telescope that's going to be looking for the first Earth-sized planets.
Any fee?
No.
It's free, open to the public.
That would be $0.
All right.
Yes.
Lawrence Doyle, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming by. Sounds like they've been keeping you pretty busy.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about what your presentation is going to deal with tomorrow night. What's your topic?
Well, the topic is the Kepler spacecraft. It's a NASA mission that uses a wide-angle telescope as opposed to Hubble.
Right.
And this one, instead of measuring deeply into space like Hubble does, this one will measure very accurate brightnesses. And the reason we want to do that is because when planets orbit in front of their stars, they make a little wink, but it's very faint. When the Earth goes in front of the sun, it's only detectable from space. And that's what Kepler wants to find, the first habitable planets around another star.
I would imagine you're going to bring some visuals with you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So it'll be a total multimedia presentation.
Yes, it will.
All right. And this is something that the family could come to?
Yes.
All right. I mean, you got some young people who you think might be interested in the subject. Bring them along.
Yes, absolutely. Kids especially. I got hooked on astronomy when I was 6.
That was my next question. How'd you get hooked?
Well, my dad gave me a map of the solar system, and he said that the stars were other people's suns, and that did it for me. I've never quite been on the Earth ever since.
I know this is off topic. What do you think of that ad campaign? Get the comet, get the star named for you. Yeah. Only $49.99.
I know. And the funny thing is, the International Astronomical Union won't recognize it.
Yeah, it's just a sham. People do it all the time.
Yeah, it's a shame, but. You know, anything getting people interested in astronomy short of just fooling them like that. But, yeah, it's unfortunately the International Astronomical Union doesn't recognize star naming.
So how goes the search for extraterrestrial life?
Well, so far there are plans with the Allen Telescope Array. Paul Allen donated the money to build it. Mm-hmm. There are about 45 telescopes working out of 354 we hope to have online. And when all those get online, we hope to look at about 1 million stars altogether. And that's in about 150 million channels. So basically, if you saw Contact, you know what we're doing, except you don't put earphones on and listen to 150 million radio channels at once.
So, but, I mean, so what could you say we're looking? What does that involve? I mean, what are you looking for, signs of water?
Well, actually, the SETI project itself listens for radio transmissions
that are either being transmitted or happen to be leaking from other advanced civilizations. So,
like this broadcast.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. This broadcast going out into space, that's what we listen for.
But you, have you heard anything yet?
Well, there have been 18 what we might call false alarms that we couldn't identify. So in the history of SETI so far, there's a WOW signal. That was a big signal that was detected at Ohio State SETI project. And somebody wrote WOW next to the printout. And they've been sitting on it ever since, and it's never recurred. So it's kind of like the moment if you did see contact where Ellie detects a radio signal and it goes away, and she panics, and then it comes back, and you get the whole rest of the movie.
Right.
Well, it's kind of, it happens, it goes away, and then it never comes back. That's happened 18 times.
How precise is the equipment? How precise is the technology?
It's very precise. It's the most narrow band radio you can get. So in other words, as far as sorting out radio signals, it's the best in the world.
But how do you keep going year after year without any? It's kind of like The Fugitive. I'm still looking for the guy.
Well, exactly.
What keeps you going?
Well, I do other things beside radio.
Okay.
I was involved in the radio search, and I branched off to do things like, well, one thing I do is look for planets around other stars, Earth-like planets, and that will probably succeed. The Kepler mission should tell us if there are other Earths within the next 3 or 4 years.
I'm sorry, other what?
Earths.
Oh.
And that's the talk tomorrow night. It's basically, are there other, is there another Earth out there? We'll know in the next 3, 4 years.
Why in the next 3 to 4?
Because the Kepler mission is designed to look at 170,000 stars, and any of those could have another Earth. If we don't detect an Earth, that means they're rarer than one in 170,000.
And if we do detect an Earth, then that would be a hugely significant result because we haven't been able to discover any Earth-sized planets up until this point.
And this is, could take us off a whole new direction. But if we were to discover another Earth, would the government really tell us? And B, would we really want to know?
Yeah. It's a NASA project, not a secret project. So if we find another Earth, you bet. That's exactly what NASA's goal is in this mission. This mission was funded with a specific purpose of finding Earth, and they're certainly going to announce it if it's there.
But how would you announce that? Oh, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
It's over there.
Yeah,
we found another Earth. I mean, the implications.
It's huge.
I know. It's there's 36 members of the Kepler science team. I'm one of the members. And Bill Borucki, it's up to him, the head guy, to say, oh, by the way, we found an Earth. Yeah. It is huge.
And what's your gut tell you?
Well, I haven't found, having studied what makes Earth habitable in the astronomical context between the kind of star that's good to live around and the way the Earth works, I haven't found any showstoppers. So I don't see any processes that couldn't happen out there that have happened here. And in the galaxy, there are 30 billion sun-like stars. I mean, those are ones just exactly like the sun.
Yeah. John, what's your take?
I mean, it's a very, very exciting mission, and there are so many stars out there with going through the same type of processes that our solar system went through when it formed that it would be very difficult for me to imagine that this is the only planet of this size and shape and mass and in a habitable zone in our entire galaxy.
Dr. John Keller is introducing us to Dr. Lawrence Doyle. Dr. Doyle is going to be doing a presentation tomorrow night at Cal Poly. It's free. It's open to the public. We'll take a short break. We'll come back and continue our conversation and welcome your phone calls. This is News Talk 920 KVEC.
Dave Congleton's show is brought to you by Senior Living Consultants, a free placement agency for senior housing for your loved ones. Call 545-590.
519 on News Talk 920 KVEC. Welcome back to the Dave Congleton Show. We're joined by Dr. Lawrence Doyle and Dr. John Keller. And, John, let's remind everybody again tomorrow about tomorrow night's free public presentation.
Yep. Lawrence Doyle will be talking tomorrow night at the Phillips Hall Auditorium in the back of the Performing Arts Center on Cal Poly campus from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. This is our second annual public astronomy lecture sponsored by the Central Coast Astronomical Society and by the Cal Poly Physics Department.
If you want in on this conversation as we talk about life out there and what's out there, we always welcome your phone calls, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832 if you'd like to participate in this conversation. You were talking before the break about the search for other Earths, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be like the Earth we have, right, Doctor?
Right.
The Earth presently is about as small as you want a planet to get, because if it gets much smaller, you get Mars. And what happened on Mars is...
Hey, Mars is amazing. I like Mars. Mars is my favorite planet.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites, too. But it doesn't have liquid water oceans because its atmosphere got caught up in its rocks. On Earth, that would have happened, except we recycle our rocks through plate tectonic earthquake activity. And so we melt our rocks and re-release our atmosphere every 10, 20 million years. So if you get too much smaller than Earth, it's not habitable. If you get too much bigger, you get a gas giant planet.
Ron's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Ron.
Hi there. How are you gentlemen doing today?
We're good. Ron, how are you, sir?
I'm just doing just fine.
Good.
And I am an amateur astronomer.
Okay.
It means I'm not real good at it. But I do like to go out and observe occasionally.
Do you have a question for Dr. Doyle?
Not really. Just the International Space Station comes over occasionally.
Right.
And you can see that with the naked eye.
Yeah, and when it does fly overhead, it's actually amazingly bright. If you get the right orientation, you can get it being much, much brighter than Venus even in the sky.
Yeah, it's coming up this week twice. One at about 68 degrees, and I think the other is 84 or something. I don't have my paper in front of me. And that's just what I wanted to tell people, that they could take a look at this and get a little more interested in the skies.
Yeah, and there is a website where people can go look up when the space station is flying overhead. It's the ISS space station webpage. If you type ISS, it'll give you searches for what when to actually
look for. Yeah, human resources or human something or other or another.
Yeah. Yep. Good suggestion, Ron. Thanks for sharing it. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832 for our astronomers in studio. Andy's in Aurora Grande on KVEC. Hi, Andy.
Hey, Dave. How you doing
today? We're good, Andy. Thank you.
Good. I am interested in finding out. I find your study to be very interesting. I'm wondering, have you studied much or looked at much from, do you know the name Guillermo, Gonzalez, I think his name is?
Guillermo, you know anybody Gonzalez? Named Guillermo?
Yeah, I know Dr. Gonzalez that studies the galactic habitable zone. Is that it?
Yeah, but I think he's done some studies on eclipses and different things dealing with the curvature of there's a lot of stuff.
what about him, Andy?
Well, I just wanted to find out. I mean, I watched a documentary called The Privileged Planet, and it quoted Stephen Hawking saying that there's something like 40 or more possible variables within a planet for it to be habitable, and if they're even slightly off, then it makes it uninhabitable. So they're, you know, to have an Earth out of 170,000 chances, even if we got one of those, that one being a possible chance is pretty remote even in that course, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think that study didn't just take into account like microbes or forests. You know, plants are a lot more robust and microbes are a lot more robust than they are. So the first thing we look for is liquid water, and then we'll look for photosynthesis, whether it's microbes or even complex photosynthetic systems like trees. And then I think you're justified in looking for radio signals, technology, evidence of humans or advanced, complex biology. So it all depends on the criteria you're looking for. Habitable planets for human beings have a lot more constraints than habitable planets for trees.
What else, Andy?
Well, it's not what I was saying is just like the size of our moon being perfect for or ideal for us, it's like, I guess, the almost ideal size, so that when we look at the moon past the sun, we can see things that from any other planet in any other galaxy, it'd be hard to see past it.
Well, yeah, you're basically the moon is 1/400 the size of the sun, and it's 1/400 the distance, so it fits exactly over the sun during an eclipse. And that allows us to, for example, test relativity. So it is kind of one of those coincidences that's really neat to think about, that we get this exact fit in this age, whereas we wouldn't have had that earlier.
Andy, thank you. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. As we talk about the mysteries of the universe with Dr. Lawrence Doyle, Dr. John Keller on the Dave Congleton Show, could somebody be watching us, and would we know?
Well, somebody could be watching us, and maybe we make that assumption, too, when we look for very strong SETI signals that they've already found us and are signaling us back.
Right.
So somebody could indeed. If you say everything that happened here happens elsewhere, the average, about 98% of the stars in the solar neighborhood are older than the sun by, 100 million years or so. Yeah. So all of the things being equal, we're the young kid on the block.
But I don't want to be Art Bell. It relates. Do you believe in UFOs? Have you seen UFOs? Do you think they're out there?
Well, I'll put it this way. If you saw something you couldn't identify,
right.
I'll believe you. You don't need extraordinary evidence for that. But if you're saying you spotted another extraterrestrial civilization spaceship, then you need extraordinarily convincing evidence to convince me of that. In other words, we want to hold out for the real thing. So while people see things they can't identify, to make the leap of faith that it's extraterrestrial spaceship takes extraordinary evidence. Like they could say, they gave me the solution to this 300-year-old math problem. Or they gave me this piece of metal which you can't make on Earth, or anything like that would be more convincing. But to see a light and then expect to make the leap. See, the problem is it's a long way to the nearest star. If you stick your hand out, the distance from your thumb to your pinky is the distance to the moon.
Right.
On that scale, from here in San Luis, the nearest star is in London, England. So it's a long way to come to chase a policeman through New Mexico, you know what I mean?
Well, I quite hadn't looked at it that way. But, and it's something you were talking with Marty during the break, even if there is life out there, it's not necessarily the kind of life we know.
Right. I'd look at the diversity of life on Earth, and humpback whales, and we share 80%, 85% of the genetic structure. Trees and humans have 70% of the same genetic structure. An alien wouldn't have any trouble saying a redwood tree and a human being are from the same planet around the same star just by looking at the genetics. Mm-hmm. But something grows up, some person that grows up around another star, on another planet, I guess I would expect something really different.
John was telling me you work with animals?
Yeah. Animal communications. I had this idea that we should practice SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, which is a radio search of the sky. We should practice detecting non-human intelligence in the oceans of Earth. After all, there are intelligent non-human species emitting signals. So I started into animal communications about 10 years ago as an analogy for practicing SETI, and I've tried to derive mathematical functions that tell us intelligence. In other words, an intelligence filter.
Yeah.
That's what I've been trying to develop.
And you work with dolphins?
Work with bottlenose dolphins and humpback whales and other intelligent species. We don't work with chimpanzees because chimpanzees have multiple ways of communicating, facials and gestures as well as vocalizations. So vocalizations we understand and we can work with. So we work with like squirrel monkeys, which are arboreal. And other animals that we can understand their signals.
But I'm told dolphins are pretty smart.
Dolphins are pretty smart. Yeah, we had a dolphin at Marine World that would watch on Tuesdays. A scuba diver would clean the viewing window for the public with a squeegee. And this one dolphin would come up and grabbed a tile from the floor and would scrape the window next to the scuba diver and help him.
Wow.
And emit bubbles when he did.
Wow.
So he's imitating a scuba diver.
John Keller, let's remind people what's happening tomorrow night with Dr. Lawrence Doyle.
Yep, again, tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Phillips Hall, out the backside of the PSC. There should be parking in the Cal Poly parking structure. But we have a free public lecture from 7 to 9. Lawrence will be talking about the Kepler Space Telescope, which hopes to discover Earth-like planets or Earths within the next 3 to 4 years.
And who's sponsoring this presentation?
The Central Coast Astronomical Society has really stepped up to the plate. They've done a tremendous job in bringing Lawrence.
And can anybody join that society?
Yes, it's a wonderful organization. They do public viewing nights once a month during the new moon of the Saturday around the new moon of every month at the Santa Margarita Lake. Right. They do public talks at Cuesta College and other locations throughout the year. And they can go to the CCAS website, the Central Coast Astronomical Society website.
Let's go to California Headline News and find out what's happening. We'll come back with more of your phone calls for Dr. Lawrence Doyle and Dr. John Keller right here on News Talk 920 KVEC.
5:35 on your hometown radio show. I'm Dave Congleton, along with Marty Hall. She is in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center with the very latest in Time Saver traffic and weather together. Marty.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic hazard up on the Cuesta Grade. Northbound Highway 101 up at the top there, we have a vehicle in the number one lane disabled. CHP is currently on the scene. No other incidents to report on. Weather-wise, beautiful but warm for the weekend, mostly in the 50s, low 50s around the county this evening. Tomorrow, mid-60s, mid-70s, depending upon which beach you're going to be at tomorrow. Coastal Valley areas, we're looking at 88 to 90-degree weather, and up in the North County, back to triple digits, or I should say staying at triple digits for the weekend. Traffic and weather brought to you by Meathead Movers, professionally trained student athlete movers. Marty Hall here in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show on News Talk 920 KVEC.
All right, Marty, thank you. Back at the phones we go for Dr. Lawrence Doyle and Dr. John Keller. Here is Mike in Morro Bay on KVEC. Hi, Mike.
Howdy, Dave.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
You're good. How are you?
Just heard your radio thing coming back from Tascadero there, in and out, and Lawrence Doyle went to school with him and his sister Maura and his brother Bruce.
That's a personal hello call.
Howdy.
In Cambria. So I was just going to say hello and congratulations, because I remember when Lawrence was in school, in third and first, and he was always involved in that, and he went all the way. That's excellent. So actually, that's all I was going to really say. And...
Well, it's nice of you to call in, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Nice to chat with you. And, yeah, I got
Mike,
my union card.
Sorry, it was Mike, and it was Doug. We went up to your house several times, and we stepped over little kids.
Absolutely. We climbed trees together. I remember that.
Right on. Yeah. Hey, well, congratulations, dude. You went all the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's nice of you to call in, Mike.
All right. Take care.
All right, sir. Thank you. 543. It's Hometown Radio. 543-8830. 1-800-549-5832. We invite your participation in this conversation. Do you think there's life out there? If so, should we be trying to contact them? Is this the kind of thing we should be spending time and money and effort on? Is this legitimate? 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Meanwhile, John Keller, let's remind people of the presentation tomorrow night.
Yes, Lawrence will be giving an amazing talk at 7 o'clock tonight. Saturday night.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night, Saturday night at 7 p.m. On the Kepler Space Telescope, which is looking for Earth-like planets. It's at the PAC, Phillips Hall, behind the PAC, actually, at Phillips Hall. From 7 p.m. is a free public lecture for the family, for anybody who's interested in space, interested in planets, interested in looking for life elsewhere in our galaxy.
All right, so when did the Kepler program start?
Well, it started many years ago, but it was launched on March 4th this year.
And so it launched. It's actually up there?
Yes. It's in a Earth-trailing orbit with a 371-day period. So it cruises behind the Earth, but it's in an orbit around the sun.
Is it huge?
It's pretty good size. It's a one-meter-across telescope, so, you know, it's huge. It's not as big as Hubble, but it's pretty good size.
Right. And it's just going... One by one?
Actually, many by many.
Many by many?
Yeah. Unlike,
so what's the process here?
Well, unlike Hubble or narrow-angle telescopes generally, it was designed to have a wide-angle lens. So it's basically going to be studying, it's probably going to see 10 million stars, of which 170,000 are the brightest. We're actually going to record their brightness variations very carefully.
But then as a layperson, how do you... process all this information, because there must be like an information overload.
Totally. There's yes, that's why.
I mean, because look at all you're doing and everything you're...
Yeah. Yeah, there's a science operations center that downloads all the data, and it does take, just to sort it all out and release it to the scientists takes about 3 months. So there's lots and lots and lots of data that comes from a telescope that stares continuously at the Cygnus arm in the Milky Way, and that's what it's doing. We're looking at the most crowded region in the northern hemisphere.
And, now, Marty, what's this you have on the screen? Oh, this is the Milky Way.
Yeah,
right. The point of view of the Kepler.
Right. What's really unique about the Kepler Space Telescope is it will stare at the exact same part of the sky for up to 5 years, I believe, and look without blinking at all for over 5 years. Mm-hmm. It will stare at the same 170,000 stars.
Yeah. And we're basically trying to detect a planet that orbits in front of its star and causes the light to drop. And turns out that's the only way to detect Earth-sized planets around Sun-like stars.
We have discovered over 300 other planets outside of our solar system already, but those are planets that are not in habitable environments, and they're typically much larger gaseous planets that can actually make the central star tug and wobble, which is what we're actually detecting with those types of planets.
543-88-301-800-549-5832 if you want to talk astronomy. So how long will Kepler go?
Well, its nominal mission is 3.5 years. It could be extended to 6 or even up to 8. So we'll see. If we're very successful and we're beginning to study Earths, then I think it'll be extended.
And how many predecessors have there been to Kepler? How many times have you done this before?
Well, I've done ground-based observations for about 15 years looking for planets around other stars. So I've had some practice doing this, and I have detected planets too. But no one has gone after a true Earth around a Sun-like star. Now, for that, you have to get above the atmosphere. So Kepler will be measuring things 100 times more, with more 100 times more precision than we can do from the ground.
Are there other suns?
Yes, there are about 30 billion in our galaxy.
30 billion suns.
Just like the sun.
Out of the 100 billion galaxies, 100 billion stars
yeah.
in our galaxy.
So
I mean, this is overwhelming when you stop and think about that.
Well, if you wanted to count to a million, it would take you about 12 days. If you wanted to count to a billion, it would take you 32 years. And there are 50 billion suns like, you know, stars like the sun in our galaxy.
I'm not quite sure how to ask this, but I'm looking for how much of the universe do we really understand? What percentage have we been able to map and really get our hands around?
Well, somebody once said, you know, we have a long way to go, but somebody once said astronomers managing to get the size of the universe and to map what we have been able to do is like plankton in a tide pool that managed to map the Pacific Ocean. So, you know, we're somewhat constrained, but we've done a pretty good job. I would say when it comes to what there is to know, that we're just starting. We barely scratched the surface.
Dr. Lawrence Doyle on the Dave Congleton Show. I want him on my team the next time I play Trivial Pursuit. Dr. John Keller also here. Here's Alan in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Alan.
Good afternoon. Speaking of scratching the surface, we're actually looking at the atmosphere. Now, will Kepler just look at light levels, or will it be able to break things down by wavelength?
It's a single filter, so it will only look at brightness variations. It's a very broadband detector, and we don't have a filter in the way. We figured we want as few moving parts as possible.
Alan's a show-off with that question.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. Well, let me explain to the viewers, the reason, or listeners, the viewers out in space watching, listening to this program. The idea would be if we could get look at spectral lines, we could look at the nature of the atmosphere around those planets. But that will come later then.
Yes, and you know, Hubble's out there if we need spectra of the stars or any other details like that. So we can use Hubble for getting spectroscopy.
Very good. Thank you.
Oh, hang on, Alan. What do you think's out there, Alan?
Because there's the two sides. Is there life on other planets possible? Have they visited? That's where I'm really wary that they visited in such strange ways, like crop circles and such. So I do agree the one I mentioned earlier about all the constraints in terms of the physical constants, that the probabilities are very small.
Yeah, but it's pretty exciting to think about, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and it's worth looking for in a coordinated way.
Yeah. You want to comment on this?
Well, yes. One thing that the gentleman brought up before was that the moon needs to be there, and the likelihood of another planet like Earth having a moon is low. But the fact is the moon needs to be there to stabilize the rotation axis of the Earth. Otherwise, it would be flipping around. But if you put the moon back in the Earth, it's rotating fast enough to stabilize itself. So in other words, some of these are circular arguments. If you have a moon, it stabilizes you, but if you don't have it and the moon came from the Earth, then the Earth would have been rotating fast enough to be stable anyway. So
I'm thinking more of the physical constants, such as the speed of light, Planck's constant, things like that.
Oh, okay. Well, those work out there too, so those are the same.
But the argument is that if those constants were a little bit different, life wouldn't exist.
Right, we'd have an uninhabitable universe.
Right.
I think one of the other important aspects of the Kepler mission is that it, regardless of whether or not we find a habitable planet, we will find other planets that we currently have not been able to detect. So we've been very, very biased in our search for planets in our galaxy up until now. And this will be our first chance to actually look at a different type of planet that will give us a whole different picture of what architectures or structures of other solar systems look like. And that's significantly going to change or influence or inform our understanding of how solar systems form.
Right, because right now there's no surprise about finding gas giants. It's finding the smaller planets.
Exactly. We just haven't had the technology.
You know, the past in the 70s and 60s, we went through this with the solar system, and we looked at Venus and said, okay, here's what a greenhouse effect looks like, and let's look at Mars. Here's what happens when you don't have ozone layer and that sort of thing. So we're able to compare the planets and see what makes Earth habitable. Now what we want to do is compare solar systems.
Very good.
All right, Alan, thanks for the call. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Excuse me, for Dr. Lawrence Doyle and Dr. John Keller on the Dave Congleton Show. Julian's calling in from San Luis. I understand he's 7 years old. Julian, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Julian. How are you?
Good.
You have a question for Dr. Doyle?
Is there water on the moon?
Is there water on the moon? Good question.
Yeah, actually, there does appear to be water at the South Pole on the moon. So that'll make in the form maybe of ice, and but it'll make colonies on the moon a lot easier to establish.
Okay. Julian, good question. Thanks for calling in.
And this moon detection of water ice, which we've actually known about for a number of years now, is actually interestingly related to the Mars conversations we've had in the past about buried water ice on Mars. There's actually significantly more buried water ice on Mars than there is on the surface of the moon.
543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Carl's in Shell Beach on KVEC. Hi, Carl.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Thank you. Next month on the 21st, there's supposed to be some good meteor showers on the 21st. I went up last year and to about 8,000 feet in the Sierras where there was, you know, not too much light pollution.
Right.
Unfortunately, I couldn't get my wife out of bed. It was 23 degrees. But anyway, I'm looking at the, you know, Orion, and they mentioned it was supposed to be near the moon, which is almost dark then. You know where it's going to be? Is going to be southeast, southwest, what?
So we're looking at each other right now. We actually don't have that information off the top of my head, but various. So every month there are monthly types of meteor events, and I don't exactly know the specific details of where to look for the.
Yeah, mid October. I'm not sure. I know December is the
21st.
Leonids and so on. So, but I'm not sure where to look in October, but type in meteor showers and you'll get the information on the web for sure.
Orion's Belt there at 21st.
Orion's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Carl. Thanks. Thank you very much. 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. If you want in on the conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. Meanwhile, John Keller, remind us about tomorrow night.
Yes, Lawrence will be talking from 7 to 9 o'clock at Phillips Hall, which is in the back of the PAC, giving a public talk on the Kepler Space Telescope.
It's free. It's open to the public.
It is definitely.
All right. We have planets. I get that. We got stars. I get that. We got suns. But why do planets have moons?
Well, that's a good question. Not all planets do have moons. We have a very big moon compared to most planets in ratio to the planet size. Jupiter has four very large moons, and one of those may have life on it as well. It's called Europa, but it's too far from the sun, so the biosystem there would be supported by tidal heating instead of sunshine.
But was the moon, were these moons at one point part of the planet that they orbit around?
Well, no, they probably accreted after the planet.
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
They probably gathered dust and particles and grew to the size of moons. But, it's a natural process to form like mini solar systems within, you know, around a planet that's in a solar system.
Jackson Grover on KVEC. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Jack.
Good show.
Thanks.
You know, I'm going to give you just a little bit different take, and it'll surprise a lot of my religious friends because I'm a very religious person. But if you read what the scripture says, that it actually talks about other worlds. in the scripture, in the Bible. And I don't think there's any doubt that there are other populated planets out there. I don't know that they visited here, but I don't think there's any question that they're out there.
Well, you know, I talked to a minister once, and he came up to me and he said, do you believe God is life? And I go, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And he said, don't you think he'd make most of what he is? So, you know, his idea was that, yeah, life should be just about everywhere.
Right. Well, it specifically talks about other worlds other than here. So I think there are some people that haven't read the whole book and don't realize that I'm talking about religious folks, but the reality is that's what it says, and I think it would be kind of ignorant or arrogant, either one, maybe both, to believe that we're the only thing in the entire solar system, or the entire galaxy that has life, because the seeds of life are out there, and I believe they're out there.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to approach the whole subject with a great deal of humility and be open to whatever you discover.
I appreciate the call, Jack. Quick break, or we'll come back and get final thoughts of Dr. John Keller and Dr. Lawrence Doyle. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. All right, let's squeeze in one last phone call for Lawrence Doyle and John Keller. Here is Gene in Los Osos on KVEC. Hi, Gene.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
One of the big problems in telescope design and building is the primary lens having to be built with Pyrex glass, which is very heavy. Why, with 5,000 or more different kinds of plastic, can they not build a primary lens with a low coefficient of expansion out of plastic, which is 90% less weight?
Yeah, that's a good question. I wish I was a telescope engineer, but to be space qualified, there's all sorts of very extremes. If you can build a telescope that can take minus 200 to plus 200 with a certain minimal coefficient of expansion and so on, and it has to be able to resist all sorts of stuff, from cosmic rays to, all sorts of things. So I could ask that of the SETI engineers, but I don't know myself. I'm an astronomer.
It just seems that something could replace that heavy, heavy glass.
Well, the Kepler mirrors are not very heavy. But, it's a good point. Someday it will.
Okay, I just wondered what the status was.
Yeah,
thank
I wish
you.
I could be more informative, but I'm a science type, and I'm not engineering telescopes.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gene. Well, here's somebody who's a telescope engineer. Gerard's on the line. Hey, Gerard.
Yeah, hi, Dave. Hi, guys. Thanks for letting me on. Pyrex is no longer used on telescope mirrors. It's zero-expansion ceramic glass called ZeroDur. And the way they do it for the space telescopes and the other optical instruments up there looking down at us is they lightweight them by drilling them out, making them very light, like 90% lighter. So it doesn't matter how much the original glass or ceramic, low-expansion ceramic glass weighs. They just machine it and make it light. And the other way they do it is by making it very thin. And then they use computers to bend the mirrors and make them right. And next week I'll be at NASA working on the next 6-meter telescope that we're going to put up for global warming.
We're out of time.
We made those mirrors real thin. They look like flowers.
I got to let you go, Gerard. Thank you, though, for the call. Thank you for the update. Last time, please, John, tomorrow night.
Yes, Lawrence Doyle, 7 o'clock tomorrow night at Phillips Hall. Free public lecture. It's the first it's the second annual astronomy lecture on the Kepler mission.
Phillips Hall.
Phillips Hall, 7 p.m.
All these phone calls, everyone from a guy. Women like astronomy?
They do. There's in the history of astronomy, about a third have been women ever since the mid-1800s.
Lawrence Darrell, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
John, thanks for setting us up.
Sure. Thank you very
much. Let's go to Fox News. We'll check traffic back with the 6 o'clock hour of Hometown Radio. Stay with us. Tonight's edition of Hometown Radio is brought to us in part by our hometown grocery store. Of course, we're talking about Spencer's Fresh Markets, with locations to serve you in San Luis Obispo, Arroyo Grande, Morro Bay, Santa Maria, and Atascadero. Open at 10 o'clock each and every night. Here are some reasons to visit Spencer's tonight. T-bone steaks on sale, $3.99 a pound. Get your large sweet cantaloupe, 79 cents each. Same price for the creamy Haas avocados. Fresh chicken leg quarters at Spencer's, 59 cents a pound. Also, check out Spencer's for Harris Ranch Boneless Rump Roast, $2.69 a pound. Zesty Roma Tomatoes, 99 cents a pound. Juicy Navel Oranges, 99 cents a pound. All this and more, so much more,
only at Spencer's. In Atascadero, Santa Maria, Morro Bay, or Royal Grande, and now right here in San Luis Obispo. Open at 10 o'clock each and every night. Shop at Spencer's, your hometown grocery store. We're proud to have them as a sponsor of the Dave Congleton Show.
Marty Hall here in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. Traffic collision out in Morro Bay. Southbound Highway 1 at Main Street in Morro Bay. CHP is currently been assigned. They're not on the scene yet. No other incidents or hazards to report at this time. Currently 68 degrees clear in San Luis Obispo. Clear around most of the county this evening. Lows in the upper, 40s to low 60s. So a mixture of temperatures out there for the evening. And then tomorrow, lots of sunshine for the weekend. Temperatures at the beaches, you can expect mid-60s to mid-70s. Coastal Valley area is warming up to be in the 88, 90-degree temperature range. And then up in the North County, we're still looking at about 105 or so up in Paso Robles. Marty Hall here in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. Let's get over to Dave Congleton at Newstalk 920 KVEC.
On Monday, we're going to start off the week by going to our friends at the San Luis Obispo Arts Center and finding out everything that's happening with the upcoming plein air festival. Andrew Carter, San Luis City Council member, is going to join us. And we're going to continue our ongoing dialogue about relations between town and gown and the alcohol. There's a very important San Luis City Council meeting coming up on Tuesday. Police Chief Deborah Linden is expected to make a presentation. Andrew has written an op-ed piece, which I believe is running in the Tribune. Anyway, we'll hear from Andrew. We'll hear from you as we keep that dialogue going. On Wednesday, John Summer is going to join us, former KSBY anchor and one of the founders of Central Coast Magazine. Apparently has decided to move on, and he is now the new head of the county Visitors and Conference Bureau. And we will talk with John about the new job and the new challenge. And we want to hear his vision for tourism on the Central Coast. Because after all, this is our claim to fame, right? We're tourists. So I don't think they're going to call.
Oh, they're calling right now.
Okay. Timing is everything. So to come this hour, we're going to give away some free pizzas from Fatty's, so get your dialing fingers ready. I'll give you a report on our big adventure yesterday, and we'll talk a little bit about dogs. First, however, let's turn our community spotlight to the exciting world of ballet. Always good to have Teresa Slobodnik join us. She's here now. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Dave.
How are you, Teresa?
Oh, I'm good. I'm up here at the Performing Arts Center. Just finished our on-stage tech rehearsal for Bravo Slow, which is tomorrow.
You're going to be part of that big event. We had Ron Regeer here earlier this week, but let's remind people what's happening tomorrow at Cal Poly.
Tomorrow in the Performing Arts Center, Cohan Center, the Performing Arts Center is presenting a community client showcase of all the community groups who use the center. And it starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's completely free. There's everything from dance, music, voice. There's some film being shown. So all of the dance and film is in the big theater, and the music is all in the pavilion.
And as I recall from what Ron was saying, this is absolutely free, and the parking is also free tomorrow.
It is, all day. And the event is from 10 to 4. All of the client groups have tables in the lobby. And, you know, there's a competition going on for who has the best table. So everyone's been here all day, you know, decorating. So it's really a big deal.
And so people who want to know more about the arts and see all the great artistic groups, here's one-stop shopping tomorrow at the PAC.
It is, and they're serving food all day. I believe, I could be wrong on this, but I believe the food is complimentary as well.
I believe Ron Regeer said that, too.
Oh, good.
If not, just mention Ron's name and they'll make it free.
There you go. Ron said the food was free and handed over. So it's really, I think it's going to be a spectacular event, and it's really a great showcase of all our local community arts groups. So.
And you're having a busy day tomorrow because you have an event tomorrow night, don't you?
Not tomorrow night. A week from tomorrow night, we have our season fundraiser for Ballet Theater San Luis Obispo.
So it's a week from it's a week from tomorrow night.
It is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Tomorrow night, actually, we are having auditions for our holiday program, which if anyone wants to audition for my brand new world premiere of The Velveteen Rabbit and our signature holiday ballet, Les Patineurs, The Skaters, we are performing those in the Spanos Theater December 4th through 6th, and we are holding a big audition at 5 p.m. with a production meeting following.
You're going to have an audition on a Saturday night?
Saturday early evening, late afternoon.
You're a taskmaster.
You know, there is so much going on in the arts right now. I'm sort of sprinting to keep up.
Yeah.
But a week from tomorrow is our season fundraiser, and it's called Bring Our Season to Life. And that is going to be held at Ballet Theater's new studio home, Dance Obispo, at 672 Higuera Street. And it is going to be a completely elegant evening of wonderful food, catered by McGee's, wine, live and silent auction. The ballet company will be performing, and it's just going to be a wonderful event. And we're really excited to be able to have it at our new studio home, Dance Obispo.
How much are tickets, and how do people get tickets?
The tickets for Bring Our Season to Life are $50, and they can be purchased either at Dance Obispo, or you can call Blair London, the Assistant Director of Ballet Theater, at 440-1439.
What's that number again, Teresa?
It's 440-1439.
In fact, I believe our own Marty Hall is going to be making an appearance at that event.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm so glad you're coming.
Well, thank you. I have to see you in your brand new home.
I check the silverware when she leaves.
Well, actually, we have little bookmarks we can give you, and all kinds of things that we're giving away, and things that we're auctioning off, and it's going to be a wonderful event. And we're really
I'm not kidding. Check her pockets when she leaves.
If she looks a little shorter, her clothes are hanging a little lower. We'll check the pockets on the way.
So tomorrow, it's everything at Bravo Slow at the Performing Arts Center. Tomorrow night at 5, auditions. Wow. That's good. Because now the gauntlet's down because you've got to surpass Robin Hood, which you knocked out of the park.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Robin Hood, yes. Robin Hood. Mm. We're still sort of floating on the aftermath of Robin Hood. It was just incredible.
It was. But now this one's going to be even better.
This is a completely, that's the thing about storytelling. You know, it's like movies. They're all so different. This, The Velveteen Rabbit, I am so excited about it. It's magical, and it's just, such a sweet story of how toys become real. But it's really for adults as well, for all of us to understand how much it means to someone when we love them through hard times and how that makes us become real. I don't know. It's just the most amazing little tiny book I think I've ever read.
And that show is going to be in December, Teresa?
Yes, that's our new holiday program. We were doing a program called the 12 Days of Christmas. And with our new move to Dance Obispo and starting over, we're doing a completely new holiday program with this world premiere of The Velveteen Rabbit. And we are doing our signature ballet, Les Patineurs, The Skaters, which we have been doing for the last 4 years as well.
All right. Teresa Slobodnik on the Dave Congleton Show. So you've got a busy day tomorrow, and then a week from tomorrow night is your big celebration.
Yes. Season fundraiser, and we just want everyone to come and see where we are working, and it's such a beautiful space. The owner of the studio is Sherry Thompson, and she's just been so engaging. She just hosted a sort of a night of contemporary dance with Ashley Friend and Lisa Deo and Jude Clark Warnisher. They put on an evening of contemporary dance performed in the studio, and it was very well attended, went over really well. So having the space used is something that we really want to do. So we're having the fundraiser there, great food, great dancing, great company.
A great time will be had by all. What's your website, Teresa?
Our website is BTSLO. It's BT-SLO.org.
As in ballet theater. BT-SLO.org.
Yes.
All right, okay. Teresa Slobodnik, thanks for joining us. Final thoughts about all the activities coming up for ballet theater.
Ballet theater just continues to have its own life. It's just soaring. So we are doing the Velveteen Rabbit in December. We are doing a full-length three-act Coppelia in the spring, the end of April in the big theater. And I'm just ecstatic about what's happening and where we are and all the good things that are happening. So thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Teresa. Keep on dancing.
I will.
All right, Teresa Slobodnik checking in from Ballet Theater San Luis Obispo. Get your dialing fingers ready when we come back. Free pizza, some fatties. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. KVEC 622 on your hometown radio station. We are the mighty News Talk 920 KVEC. California headline news awaits us at the bottom of the hour. On Wednesday, Marty and I were talking a little bit with you about the passing of our friend and colleague Gary Owens, who was heavily involved in radio in this community for years, mostly in the radio sales. And I would just encourage you to either see the copy of the Tribune today or just go online, and you can read Gary Owens' obituary. And I want to join in the announcement that there will be a Celebration of Life Memorial for Gary. It will be a week from this Sunday. This is going to be Sunday, October 4th. From noon to 5 p.m. at the Portuguese Hall on Wasner Road in Arroyo Grande. And the family is inviting everyone who knew and loved Gary. I'm not sure that hall is going to be big enough. Anyway, check out the obit. Of course, Hometown Radio is brought to us in part by our friends at Fatty's Pizza, right, Marty?
That's right, Dave.
There's a segue.
There you go.
But this is what Gary would want us to do. Client comes first.
That's right.
That's the way Gary was.
Up until the
he'd
end,
understand.
He was still taking care of those clients of
That's
his.
Right.
That's the kind of dedication this guy had.
So, every Friday we give away Fatty's Pizzas, right, Marty?
Mm-hmm.
San Luis Obispo?
Yes.
Grover Beach?
Santa Maria.
This is where the coupon is
the certificate for two large two-topping pizzas.
And since it's after 6 o'clock, we know our general manager is at Harry's. They don't have the radio there. He won't hear this. We can mail you the gift certificate.
Yes.
We're not supposed to mail them, but we can mail this one to you. All right, how'd you like your gift certificate mailed to you? Good for two-topping pizzas from Fatty's in either Grover Beach, San Luis Obispo,
Santa Maria.
Or Santa Maria. Right here, right now, let's take caller number 8, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832, 1-800-549-KVEC. On the hunt for caller number 8, you will win two free tickets, two free pizzas. Hello to Fatty's. We thank Fatty's for being a sponsor of Dave Congleton Show. I tell you, every Friday, I know you're broke. You have no money. You can't afford this. You can't afford that. But you can all afford a pizza, particularly at a place where you get two for one. And you're saying, geez, Dave, we love what you and Marty do. How can we help you? How can we support you? It's really simple. The next time you decide to order a pizza, don't go to that place. Don't go to that place. Just go to Fatty's. Hey, I'm thinking of Dave and Marty. Let's go there. Let's meet our winner. We're going down to Pismo because here's Susie on KVEC. Hi, Susie.
Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's your favorite kind of pizza?
Pepperoni, I guess. Pepperoni.
You don't like talking on the radio, do you?
No, I guess.
Fair enough, Susie. You've won. Hang on. Let Marty take your information. And thanks for listening to KVEC. And thanks for listening and supporting the Fatties. I took the day off yesterday. And I took Tanner and put him in the car. And we headed out about 11:30. And we probably didn't get back until, between 5:30 and 6. We went all the way up to Ragged Point. It's strange for me because, I live in South County now. I live in Napomo. I've been there almost 3.5 years. But prior to moving to Napomo, I didn't have a lot of what I call institutional memory down there. Sure, I'd been to this place and that place, but I really don't have a lot of memory. But, man, you get me on Highway 1 and you send me off between Morro Bay and Ragged Point. It's like every corner, every curve in the road, there's something that reminds me of someone or some incident or some part of my life for the last 22 years. And by the time you get up to Ragged Point, it could be pretty overwhelming if you're inclined to think that way. What I was looking for were places to run a dog. Tanner had some surgery in July. He's about 13. He's just a mutt. And they took this big growth out of him. And I bought him some time, but they said it's coming back in October. And when it comes back in October, there's not going to be much that you can do. I understand that. So I decided yesterday I was going to take a poor man's holiday. First thing you do is you go to the very northern edge of Morro Bay, right at the last stoplight. And there's a little park area there, and you can walk along, and then you can go down on the one parcel of beach where dogs are allowed in Morro Bay. It's not Morro Bay's fault. It's a state parks thing. And so we were there for a while. And then we got back in the car, and we headed on up to Cambria, because another favorite place I have for dogs is at the very southern tip of Moonstone Drive. You've got that parking area there, and you head south, and you can just walk on the beach. And the creek was totally dry, so you could actually walk out to the ocean. It was wonderful. Get back in the car. My favorite turnout in all of Big Sur, and I define that as being between Monterey and Morro Bay, is the turnout right before Ragged Point. Because you go off there to your left, and there's just a little piece of land that juts out through the trees. You got to be very careful when you walk out there. But you can look to the south, and you can look to the north, and you see the Big Sur coastline, and on a clear day, you can see the lighthouse. And every dog I have ever had during the last 20 years, I have taken them to this spot. And we go out on this little parcel of land, and we just sit there. And at least I do. I look to my left, and I look to my right. I'm thinking, hey, this is exactly what I think California should be. When you're a Midwesterner growing up and you see Big Sur, California, that's what California is all about. And we're just sitting there yesterday afternoon having the bestest time. Here's California Headline News. We'll come back for a final half hour. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live. We're local. We're certainly dog friendly. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. This is News Talk 920 KVEC, the home of Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton, along with Marty Hall. She is in the Jiffy Lube Traffic Center. She's been keeping an eye all afternoon on the Time Saver traffic and weather together. What's happening out there, Marty?
Thank you, Dave. Well, CHP is currently on the scene out in Morro Bay, Highway 1 at the Highway 41 off-ramp in Morro Bay, site of a collision out there this afternoon, early evening. And still ongoing activity out there. Like I said, CHP is currently on the scene. No other incidents or hazards to report on at this time. Weather-wise, it's going to be a beautiful but pretty hot weekend this weekend. Temperatures up in the North County, we're looking at 105 or so up there. Even San Luis Obispo is slated to have a high of 89 to about 90 degrees or so, 92 for the weekend. And beaches, looks like a really nice best bet out there, mid-60s, mid-70s for the weekend weather. Mostly clear skies. We will have cloud fog along the coastline in the evening and early mornings. But other than that, lots of sunshine here on the Central Coast. Traffic and weather has been brought to you by the Mac Superstore in the Pacific Coast Center in San Luis Obispo, where Madonna meets Higuera. Let's get back to Dave Congleton at News Talk 920 KVEC.
All right, Marty, thank you. In addition to Andrew Carter and John Summer next week, Rick London will be here to talk about the upcoming nonprofit collaboration forum. We're going to put the community spotlight on the Morro Bay Harbor Fest. We'll give you all the details that you need to know. We'll give away some free tickets. Also, the Central Coast Book and Author Festival is coming up. I'm telling you, that first weekend in October, it's like everything that you could think of is happening is happening. I always tell people, in terms of my show, because we try to promote a lot of community events, the two busiest months of the year for me are October and May, because that seems to be when everyone's scheduling their events and they all want coverage. So we'll have a mixture of that, and we'll just see where the we'll see where the week takes us. All that matters is this: from 3 to 7 every weekday afternoon, we've got Hometown Radio, and we can sit around and talk about whatever's on our minds. Before the break, I was talking a little bit about yesterday and where I was. I took my dog Tanner, and we just headed north along Highway 1. And we started off for a little bit in northern Morro Bay, and then we went up to Cambria and hit the southern end of Moonstone Beach Drive. And then we headed on up to Ragged Point, and I stopped right at the last turnout before you hit Ragged Point. You just go through the trees, and there's just this little piece of land that juts out. And you can sit there, and you just get this spectacular view of Big Sur. And when you're sitting there, you know you're in Big Sur. So then we pressed on up to the actual Ragged Point. And I bought Tanner a hamburger. And as I was saying at the beginning of the show, this is, I guess, this says something about me. I'm not sure what, though. I spent $5.95 on a cheeseburger for Tanner. And I only spent $4.25 on the hot dog for me. They didn't have anything else there. You know, he's not going to eat a tuna sandwich. He's not going to eat a hot dog. So I got him a cheeseburger. And the guy's looking at me. He's like, so you just want a hamburger patty with cheese. You don't want anything else on it. What am I going to say? Yeah, it's just for a dog? No, I just said, well, yeah, that's all she eats. She just wants that. So I had the hot dog. And he had the hamburger. And we're sitting there in my car, and we're watching the traffic just zoom by on Highway 1. And maybe this ties into what we were talking about with Bob and Andrea Kim during the 4 o'clock hour today. But as I was sitting there, I realized or was reminded about how my life had changed. Because if I had still been single, if I wasn't married, when I was done, I would have gone left on Highway 1 because I wanted to keep on going. I wanted to keep on going north. I wanted to go to Gorda and through Big Sur and up into Monterey and Carmel and Pacific Grove. I loved that drive, but I couldn't do it. I had to take a right and come home because I have all these people. I have all these animals waiting on me. I have responsibility. Darn it. And on the way back, if you're a dog lover, now if you're not a dog lover, you're not listening right now, but if you're a dog lover, I will reveal my big secret. As far as I'm concerned, the best place that I have found to run a dog off leash, because there aren't many places left,
If you go to San Simeon, not where the castle is, not where the Sebastian is, but where all that strip of hotels and restaurants, if you go north of that, between San Simeon and the entrance to the castle, there are three vista points, turnouts, whatever you want to call them, where you turn to the left and you go there and you look out over the ocean. You take the very first one. Park your car, and then there's a trail that goes south along the highway. You walk there a couple hundred yards, and then you can slide down onto the beach. And it is spectacular down there. I rarely see many people down there because it's hard to navigate. But if you can make it down there, you've got this huge stretch of beach for your dog or dogs to run. You've got some great rock formations that you can climb around on if you're so inclined. And it's just a fantastic experience. But yeah, poor Tanner. This guy's 13 years old. He doesn't have a lot of energy in his legs. And we tried three different ways to get down to the beach. And I would get down like about a third of the way, and I'd look back up, and he wasn't budging. He wasn't coming. He's like, Dave, I can't do this. And I wasn't in any shape to pick him up and take him down, so we couldn't get down to the beach. And that was a reminder that it was an old dog. And then I tried to stop at the yew tree to see Terry Schio, but she was closed. So that was our big adventure. In Morro Bay, Cambria, Ragged Point, and San Simeon, plus a cheeseburger that cost $6. And when I got to Morro Bay on the way home, I was hearing something. And at first I wasn't sure what it was. It was Tanner snoring. He was just out because he wasn't used to running that much. So that's where I was yesterday, just spending time with a dog who has always been very special to me because Tanner was my introduction to animal rescue. He was a pet of the week in November 1997 at a time when our pets of the week were not being adopted with the regularity that they are today. And it was not unusual, and on those days we were on in the morning, it was not completely surprising that a dog who would be the pet of the week Friday at 11:45 would be put down that same day at 5 o'clock. Because they had no space at animal services. They didn't have the volunteers and the organization that they did today. It's just a completely different environment. And if you ever met Tanner, if you ever were to see him, you'd say, yeah, this is no special dog. He's not. He's just a brown and white mutt. I don't even know what kind of dog he was. He's just a stray. But he came in that Friday, and Jeff Clinton, I remember this as if it was yesterday. He was the animal control officer, and he just told me this dog is not going to make it. And I just decided right then, right there, that I was not going to allow another pet of the week to be put down if there was something we could do about it. So I just grabbed him. I didn't know what to do with him, but I just grabbed him. And then the next week, another dog came on, and it's like, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? And for about 10 years there, Charlotte and I were involved in pretty intense animal rescue. It was all because of Tanner. And something in his eyes, in his manner, spoke to me and changed my life. So we'll see what October brings. My goal is to try to get him to the end of the year and have some special times with him. So maybe there will be other days off in the weeks to come. And if you see me on the beach when I'm supposed to be here, I'm sure you'll understand. It is 6:47 on Newstalk 920 KVEC. I'm Dave Congleton. Marty and I will be back for a final segment after these messages.
Dave Congleton Show is brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids, providing the Central Coast with the most trusted hearing professionals. Call Karen Scott Hearing Aids.
Thank you, Marty. Let's take a phone call. Here's our good friend Larry Kahn from Animal Services. Hey, Larry.
Hello, David. Yeah, how are you doing?
We're good, Larry. How are you?
Very well. We're actually driving back from Bass Lake.
And how was Bass Lake?
Very nice. Never been there before.
I've never been either. It's worth going?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Very, very nice. It's only about 3.5 hours easy drive out Highway 41.
Yeah.
Anyway, your history of Mr. Tanner, we've had volunteers there since the 90s. I got rolling there about 94, 95. And Carol Goldberg and numerous other volunteers were there before that. And Officer Jeff Clinton was a volunteer before he was an officer.
That's right. That's how he got involved. You're right.
Just on the straight out your facts there.
No, well, no, maybe that came out wrong, Larry, but what I was trying to suggest, obviously there were volunteers there, but the whole atmosphere seemed to change earlier this decade.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Yeah, no, they were clearly volunteers. I don't mean to degrade anybody who was a volunteer in the 90s.
That's okay.
Okay.
I forgive you.
It's all right.
So, I guess that's about it.
All right, Larry, drive carefully, my friend. Yeah, no, I was just trying to put it in perspective about animal services. There were great staff and great volunteers back in the 90s, but they really seemed to take it up a couple notches this decade. I mean, there was for a while there in, 2003, 2004, where we had like the fourth best record in the country. In terms of saving animals, it was something to be proud of. But again, it goes, and that's how I got Simon, who I lost about a year and a half ago. Simon was slated to go down. It was the Friday of Labor Day weekend, and he was going to go down on Tuesday. And I went and got him. You know, it just back in the 90s, it was a rougher time. No disrespect meant to anybody in animal services. But it was a lot tougher. And when I saw Tanner, and I remember when I went out to get Tanner, the woman at the desk was surprised because forever I'd had Topper. And if you have been with me for a while, I won't regale you with stories about the legendary Topper. But this woman could not believe that after losing Topper, I was coming for this dog because to her, he just didn't seem to be anything special. Anyway. I'm babbling. Check out our website, please, at 920kvc.com. We stream live on the Internet. We also podcast. So if you miss any part of today's show or recent shows, it's there waiting for you at the big 920kvec.com. Also, check out King Harris News Headlines. Buy your gift certificates to local restaurants and businesses at 50% off. That's right, 50% off. You can see the photo of our great pet of the week. We had Batman on here at 3 o'clock, the little teaspoon chihuahua, who only weighs 3 pounds. If you know anyone looking for a small dog, Batman would be the perfect dog. Marty, translate for me.
Oh, somebody was just calling in to say, you know, he appreciates the stories that you tell about your animals and your dogs and is moved by them. And particularly remembers the story about Barnaby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how I met Minnie Driver, the actress.
Mm-hmm.
She was at Animal Services because she was dating Josh Brolin at the time. Oh, this was like, I don't know, 2002? 2003, and Barnaby, you look in the cage and you thought he was dead. And I don't know my breeds. He's just this little tiny white dog, but his nails had been fully grown. His hair was all matted and dirty, stinky, and he was just laying there. And I was staring at him. I'm thinking, this dog is dead. He's just dead. And this woman comes up to me. And she starts talking to me about the dog. And first I notice that she's very beautiful. Then I notice the British accent. And then I'm realizing I know this woman. This is that woman from Good Will Hunting. I, you know, what are you going to say? You don't say anything.
And we talked for a few minutes about the dog, and she's very concerned about the dog. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to get the dog out. I don't know what I'm going to do with him, but I'm just going to get him out. And later I was talking to Jeff Clinton. He goes, oh, yeah, that's Minnie Driver. She's dating Josh Brolin. She's here. That was my brush with greatness. So I scooped this dog up. I mean, and the dog was in an advanced enough stage that I think we had him for about 2 months. He never connected to us. Mm-hmm. He was just he's like Grandpa, and I can say that because my dad's 94 this weekend. He's just like Grandpa in his own little world. But we did what we could for him, but it wasn't enough. But I got to meet Minnie Driver. What are you doing this weekend?
I don't know. There's tons of things going on. Slow Bravo.
That sounds like fun. If airport, I was going to be around.
Yeah, the airport day. And the good thing is that they're all day long, so you can get out. I think try and hit both of them. And Botanical Garden. And
I tell you, if I were a parent and I wanted to be a hit with my kids, I would take them to airport day because mm-hmm. that's free. And then tomorrow night, I would take them to see this guy.
Yes, yes, yes. Dr. Lawrence Doyle
at Phillips Hall, because that's free.
Yes.
And he's going to do this big presentation about what's out there in outer space.
Yeah, it's
and so
great.
If you're into aviation, boom.
Yeah, a lot going on.
I leave tomorrow for Los Angeles. The family's getting together.
Yeah.
And we're going to see if I can get a few pounds. My mom weighs about as much as that dog today. My mom's down to 78 pounds.
So you can tell her she can have all the chocolate milkshake she wants.
Well, I'm going to figure out how to put weight on my mom.
I'd
like to give her some of mine. So I'm going to go down and see my folks and help my dad turn 94. I can't explain it. My dad has been around almost as much as Jack LaLanne. But if you were to see the two of them, there's absolutely no comparison.
Well, happy birthday, Mr. Congleton.
Thanks to Greer Eubanks and Lee Zemlock and Bob and Andrea Kim and Dr. Lawrence Doyle and Dr. John Keller and Teresa Slobodnik for joining us. Marty, thanks for your help as always.
Thank you, Dave.
And thank you, everybody. Just have a safe weekend. We're going to see you Monday at 3 o'clock. Andrew Carter will join us. We'll continue our conversation about alcohol and college students in this town. I'm Dave Congleton. Thank you for listening. Now, Tanner, especially Tanner, Ginger, Snoopy, and Daisy Jane, get off the couch, get out the leashes. I'm coming home. Take care.